about.
So easy. You gotta put it in the
perspective. I have a question.
Okay.
What is The Bad Place like?
Oh, sorry. That is the one topic I'm not allowed to tell you about. I can only play you a brief audio clip of what is happening there right now.
If you don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Our feelings are exposed at this moment. We're vulnerable.
Haley, what does vulnerable even mean?
Is my makeup smeared?
No, you actually look perfect.
Vulnerable. We're so dumb.
She's dumb. That girl is the trunk of a tree. Ain't nobody at home up here. She a cottonhead. This girl is a dumped out sewing kit. And now.
You guys are so fun. Just relentlessly fun. I keep thinking, when are they going to stop being fun? And the answer is never.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand
new Wrong.
Check. You mean Donald Trump?
Wrong.
Morning.
Wrong.
Tuesday, September 27th.
Kevin, how did you lose the debate pool?
I'm an idiot. That's
I thought you had it nailed down. You spent more time yesterday plotting out how you were going to win the group debate pool that you guys – what were you doing? Like a,
wrong.
Like a bingo thing? Were you
– dollar a piece.
Certain words got said you got money?
Yeah, dollar a piece.
And what did you have? What did you hit?
Well, I mean, what did I hit?
Yeah. Which words did you come up with? That got you money.
You only get one.
Okay.
You know,
just one.
Or like a grouping of one. Later, I thought, I don't know why I didn't pick believe me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You could do two words like that. Because Donald Trump says that all the time.
Big league, too, would have been a good one.
Big league.
Yeah. Everything's big league.
I wouldn't have thought of that, though.
Yeah.
I was waiting and I was keeping track.
Kevin, the word?
And I was writing down everybody else's. It was... The word that I chose?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What? Future? Elections aren't about the future.
I thought they would both say this is about our future.
No.
The
not
future.
Them. They don't care.
The kids.
No.
What about the kids?
About the now.
It's about tearing down your opponent. It's not about the future.
And it's mostly with them about the past, let's be honest.
Yeah. Right. About the past.
Well,
right.
I'll tell you that I got one.
Oh, no.
One time was the word future worked into that entire debate.
Who was the big winner?
Anyone choose wrong?
No.
Oh.
Wrong.
How stupid, right?
You retire on wrong.
I'm not positive there was that much going on. People.
Oh, the word people.
Yeah.
Because every time they say the American people.
And I didn't think anything that sort of general, you know? I was thinking a little bit, although future's pretty general. But people, yeah.
All right.
Destroyed. Got like twice as much as second place.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, this is what Kevin always says. If you got to watch, baseball, you don't like baseball, figure out a way to bet on it.
Yeah, gambling
the debates.
Makes everything better, although this didn't make this much better.
Right. Well, had you won, you would have a very different impression of the evening. But, all right. Well, again, politics, elections, not about the future, Kevin. Come on.
Wow.
Learn something here.
I'm such an idiot.
We'll talk about that more later. We do have a great show planned for you today, but I want to start with this. I don't know what your feelings are on karma. A lot of people have very strong feelings about karma. Even if no one's watching, do the right thing, because otherwise it's going to come back and bite you. Here's a man in New Zealand who is buying a lottery ticket at the Pack and Save on his way home from work. I'm waiting in line at the lotto shop, and another customer, this is a New Zealand term, I guess, nipped in front of me. So a person cuts in front of him in line.
Mm-hmm.
So he chokes him out.
You can see where this story is headed.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't in any hurry, so I just let him go ahead. I didn't say anything. So if you're writing this story, Kevin, what are you hoping happens next? Are you hoping that the guy that cut
in front of him is going to buy a lottery ticket and win?
Okay.
Oh.
Allie, what are you hoping for here?
I think the guy in front's going to turn around and go, "Hey, sorry about that. Go ahead." And then they'll be like, "Wait, this is a dumb article." No.
Well, it would be.
Let's not write it.
There'd be no reason to write that article.
It's true. I realized that as I was saying it.
Right. So I wasn't in any hurry. I just let him go ahead and I didn't say anything. And I guess good karma pays off.
Because if that
hadn't happened, they might have bought the winning ticket instead of me. A $1 million ticket.
Wow. How about that?
which, by the way, is $727,000 U.S. Still nice. Pretty good investment for $1.
Yeah.
So that's what happened when he got cut in front of. Lotto New Zealand spokesperson Kristen Robinson said the winner's place in the queue would not have made a difference as ticket sales and the live draw were undertaken on a random basis. Does that make sense to you? Because I feel like if he had been in the same spot as the person who cut in front of him, he would have gotten a different ticket. He would have got a different ticket. So I don't know why the Lotto spokesperson would say that.
I feel like that's above my pay grade to be able to figure that out.
Yeah, it's too complicated to know how those things work. I thought it was interesting, footnoted in this article, is 2013 in the United States, an 84-year-old woman cut in line in a Powerball jackpot.
Bitch.
Do you remember this, Allie?
No.
Gloria McKenzie cut in line and won $590 million in the Powerball.
Holy crap.
Mindy Crandall was in line with one of her daughters when the woman stepped in front of her, and she said, well, she's an elderly woman. Let's just be polite and let her go ahead of it, and didn't think anything of it until she saw that woman a couple of weeks later on the news getting her big check. So I don't know what the karma is there. She was 84. She's still alive, so God didn't strike her down for doing that and winning the money. So there's two cases of people cutting in line with very different results.
Was it nip? It does nip.
So now I don't know anything today, kids. I don't know what to believe about karma now, because you got one woman who cuts in and wins, and you got another guy who lets someone cuts in and he wins. So it's too random for me to draw any conclusions.
Here's the closest to that I've had is I was playing a slot machine, which I despise, but it was a while back and I was playing slot machines. I think I was just about to leave Vegas and I was just wasting money.
At the airport, you had $8 left.
I hadn't given them everything yet, so I figured I would just complete the task. So I was doing it and I was playing the slot machine and somebody behind me was waiting for it. So that's my machine. And I'm like, well, I'll be done in a minute, so don't worry about it. Pulled, like, I don't know, 10 times, and then stepped away and the guy pulled. First one, 10 grand. Now, does that mean if I would have gone one more?
Well, no, he did say it was his machine, so it's like he knew, right?
I don't know.
That sucks.
$10,000, and then beep, lights go off, and of course, no money comes out because they have to come out.
Sure.
They have to take their picture with the big check, and I was standing there going, hey, that was just the one. Right,
I feel like you would have won that if you'd have been the guy who took the next pull on the machine.
That's the worst case scenario.
Well, because the machine doesn't know whose hand is on the handle, right?
Well, maybe it did. Mm. Maybe it was like, not you, sir.
Maybe.
Whoever's next, step up. I was already frustrated. Ralph, we don't know how it works. That's what we're saying.
Jesus.
We don't know how it works.
It's not complex.
Okay.
It's like the New Zealand lottery official said.
Yes. Please,
like
fact
I'm
check
about
us, Ralph.
To say now.
Okay, yes.
Is that these are independently generated events.
Right.
There's not a finite number. It's not like you're picking marbles out of a bag. That's a limited number of things. And
right.
As you get down, there are less and less amounts. So you're going to get the black marble out of a bag of 99 white marbles and one black marble.
Right.
You're not increasing your odds by removing. So every time you get a lottery ticket, those numbers are generated uniquely for that ticket.
Right, but 5 seconds later, those numbers that are generated, we're talking about whose hand that ticket goes into.
Yeah, but what the guy's saying is if he gets in line, if that person had gotten in line after him or before him, those numbers weren't just going to come up to the next person. They were independently generated.
Wrong,
says Donald Trump.
And the same thing with your slot machine. Those wheels go around, those 3, 4, 5 wheels go around. And where they stop is an independently generated event. It's not predicated on the roll before it or the roll after it. Each time those wheels spin and come up in combination.
But it was the very next one.
Yeah,
it came
I understand
up.
That. That's just the way it was. If you had been sitting there and pulled that handle, there's no odds in your favor or against that same instance would have happened.
It would have been no different for me if I had it one more time.
I feel like math is hard.
That makes me feel
it's
a lot better
math.
Than Bean did.
It's just math and luck and logic. It's all that.
Oh, my God. But there's no guarantee that had you pulled the handle that next time, that it one more additional time, that those wheels would have fallen.
That
in
makes
that
me feel so much better than what Bean thought.
Okay, but
if you had pulled that handle, there's absolutely no more likely or less likely in that independent event that those wheels would have come up in that combination.
So that machine didn't just hate me.
No, Kevin, it was just a random act.
All right,
so
last question
luck?
Then.
Or no, there's no luck.
I mean, it's just it's just random. Circumstances. It's random. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to call it luck, yeah, it's just if you happen to be there when that unique event happens, then you're the recipient of that. Of that.
I want bounty, unique right? events, Ralph.
But let me ask you this,
Ralph. Event right in the mush, lady.
If is this possible? If Kevin had taken that next pull, the one that won the $10,000 for the guy, is it possible he would have won $20 million?
Well, Ralph's saying yes. Ralph's
That's
saying
what you're saying, right?
Wait,
is possible.
If he hit the pull for $10,000,
no,
is it likely he would have won $20 million? Probably he would have won $10,000.
The next pull could have just as easily been a much bigger jackpot.
Absolutely.
Or no
could,
jackpot
could
at all.
Have been, it could have been nothing, or it could have been the
everything.
The progressive payout.
Mm, gotcha.
Every pull of the handle is a unique event, not predicated on the one before it or the one that comes after it.
Well, you're just making gambling sound random now.
Well, because that's what it is!
All right. Thank you, Ralph.
Okay.
He said pull the handle.
Right. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBito, shall we?
I'll bend over right now.
Oh.
Trump, got another Trump date for you.
All right. Well, he won the debate, and he's probably pretty happy about
sure.
it this morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that tweet, Bean, on the program today. How dare you?
Oh. Dare you?
How dare you?
Didn't even say it.
Right.
We're going to give away $1,000.
What?
Courtesy of the movie Masterminds.
Randomly?
Randomly.
Like a random poll?
Well, not a random poll. No, we're going to have a game.
But it's not predicated on anything.
It's predicated on them being able to earn with a correct answer.
See, I don't get it.
To get into the drawing. It's very different. Astrology is dumb, right?
Right.
Talk about that today. Milo Ventimiglia.
Wow.
Is on the program with This Is Us.
He's very talented.
Yeah.
Professional cuddler.
Oh.
That's a thing, apparently.
Ugh.
And we've also got Steve Aoki in studio. He's got a fascinating documentary on Netflix called I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, and he will be in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! 106.7 KROQ. KROQ. This is the
Woo-hoo!
Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
We're done with that, Ralph. And now it's time for your segment
Woo-hoo!
With the Showbiz Beat here on KROQ.
In my day, they sang songs, not just whooped like cranes.
What's going on, kid?
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Not as good as Tatiana Ali. Remember cute little Tatiana Ali from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yeah.
Ah, she's all growed up. And she welcomed a baby boy into the world with her husband.
Oh.
The newborn's name is Edward.
Oh.
How nice, Edward. Unfortunately, the kid does have her husband's last name. Tatiana Lee, is married to Dr. Vaughn Raspberry.
Oh.
Dr. Vaughn Raspberry.
That's kind of amazing.
Sounds kind of like it's an animated cartoon.
Sure does.
Right? That's a kid's show.
Yeah.
Hey, boys and girls, it's Dr. Raspberry. Here to make all the fruits better. Here at the fruit hospital. Oh, banana, you slipped.
So welcome Edward Raspberry to the world. That's rough.
It's unfortunate.
Oh, I forgot his middle name. Asgard. No, Azard. Edward Azard Raspberry.
Wow. Keeps getting better.
Hey, Bean, how's your Twitter stock doing? How's Twitter? How's Twitter held up for you? How's Twitter? How's your investment in Twitter?
Shockingly, I think I heard it was up to like 22 or something a couple days ago, which
yeah.
is right about half of what I paid for it.
Well, you know what's going on is there's rumors that two companies are possibly thinking about buying the social media giant. Disney and Microsoft are rumored to be looking into buying Twitter. Google and Salesforce also potential buyers, according to rumors floating around Wall Street. Here's the thing, though. Twitter, not doing well, by the way. If you bought in initially at the IPO of Twitter.
Oh, really?
You lost some money.
Those people. Made a poor investment?
Yes.
What did you pay?
I think it was 45.40, I think, or 45.10, one of those, on the first day that it was available. And a couple weeks ago, it was down to around 15.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Yeah. Disney, rumors of that Disney were going to buy Twitter started to circulate. And Disney stock went down 2% just on the rumor of buying Twitter.
That's death. Twitter's death.
But let me ask you guys. We all use it, and we all like it, and we all think it's a good service, worthwhile service.
Right.
We would really miss it if it went away. What are they doing wrong? Just not figuring out a way to monetize it.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, I would still use it.
I don't pay to use Twitter, do you?
No. No.
Right?
No,
so?
But like Instagram has ads.
But Twitter does too.
Do they?
I mean, people will be paid to tweet.
Yeah, but why wouldn't they just do it like Instagram does, which is basically they just put an ad there and you like it or you don't and move on. I don't know. Doesn't seem that difficult.
Would you use Twitter as much if you had to see an ad every time you read a tweet?
Not if it was too much, but if it happened occasionally, sure.
Don't they have that sponsored stuff that you just scroll right on by?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I use the TweetDeck. I'm not familiar with the actual page.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not fancy. It's just
it's super fancy.
No, it's just columns
TweetDeck
of tweets.
TweetDeck costs so much.
It doesn't cost anything.
You're
actually,
very lucky
Allie.
To be able to afford
just
it.
TweetDeck.com. You just go there. Just saying, if you had pulled the handle, there's no guarantee
right.
you would have hit the $10,000. An independently generated event.
Got it.
See. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, you son of a bitch. You know, Dave, the King of Mexico.
Yes.
Makes my birthday list for me every morning.
Yes.
And so I run in
which
here.
Which LA Clipper is in there?
I run in here usually, you know, half drunk.
Right.
Just sort of bleary-eyed from not getting much sleep. I just kind of run in here and I have my showbiz beat. Which I put together, but I don't really take a gander at the birthday list until I'm sitting here in front of the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a fresh hell each time I read it.
Sure.
So I'm just perusing as I get into the birthdays, the celebrity birthdays this morning. And it says, Rhonda Ruffy is one.
Oh, God.
What's up?
That's Dave's dog.
Dave's dog.
That's worse than
that
I thought it would be.
Is so much worse
yeah,
than I thought.
It's worse
I thought
than
it
a
would
Falcons
be a
player, worse than
non-starting
a
Clipper.
Yeah.
Rhonda Ruffy is one exclamation point. Oh.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
In the celebrity birthday list. Now I have to go hit him in the nuts, right?
I mean, you don't have a choice.
I have to.
You don't have a choice.
Right. I don't want to.
Oh,
right.
That's a dog.
He's demanding it.
Meatloaf is 69.
The Loaf.
He's awful now, by the way.
Well,
he can no longer sing.
Okay.
I don't know what happened, but he can't sing.
If you're saying he can't sing, I can't argue with that.
That is exactly what he just
and
said.
And he is
very
a singer.
Clearly, very clearly is what I said.
And it's unfortunate because
he can
that's
no
his
longer
job.
Sing. I don't
he
know
really
how can. It happened. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know how you go from being a powerful singer, a singer of great strength, to a person who cannot no longer sing.
Well, I got to think it's a combination of how old is he? 69?
He's 69.
And he's
Sinatra
still
sang till he was 80.
Right. Mm-hmm. He also wasn't 300 plus pounds either. I don't think that's
helping.
Neither
is Meatloaf anymore.
Oh, really? Has he lost some weight?
Yeah.
Pavarotti was pretty big and
yeah.
old.
Yeah.
He was good.
It's a good point.
Nailed it.
That's
I mean,
stuck
I stayed
the landing.
Strong.
Wow. That was pretty sweet.
It was good. Gwyneth Paltrow is 44. Lil Wayne is 34 years old today. I always sound like Tom Brokaw when I try to announce his name.
Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne. Celebrating your birthday. Hey. Lil Wayne.
Avril Lavigne is 32.
Avril Lavigne is 32 years old today.
U2 star Grace Helbig is 31 years old. Hey, look at this. Forget that Rhonda Ruffy, our own assistant producer, Christine. Christine's celebrating a birthday today.
Christine!
So much better.
So much better than Rhonda Ruffy.
Scratch off Rhonda Ruffy
I'm going to take
future.
This big red marker. I'm going to put a line right through Rhonda
Excellent.
Ruffy. How about that? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Panic! Exclamation point. At the Disco is one of the great live bands on the road today, and they'll be playing the Forum coming up in March. We got your tickets you can win at 9 o'clock this morning, and you qualify for a trip to see them in New York City. That grand prize drawing is going to be at 5 o'clock. So all day long today here on K-Rock from 9 till 4 every hour, you win Panic tickets locally, and you qualify to see them in New York. Pretty good deal. Details at K-Rock.com.
Time for...
That's right. Tweet.
Bean. Oh, boy.
Right?
Oof.
What? What's happening? What's going on?
None of us follow Bean because we can only take so much of him.
Right.
Can you blame us?
We're forced to follow him in life.
Right.
Because we have to be on the same show with him and listen to him.
Right, exactly.
So why would we read these extra nuggets of hell?
Yeah, thanks.
And Chip has to do that for us.
It's Chip's job to...
Right, to sift through the nuggets of hell.
Right.
I believe, if I can give a counter opinion, I believe that I am contributing to the conversation
right.
of the world.
Sure.
Of the world.
Wrong.
Let's okay. find out. Let's find
That's
out.
Right. Tweet.
Bean. Let's kick things off with some of Bean's classic tweets from the past couple months.
Trying to get to sleep here in Louisiana and listening to Mark Thompson read the news on KFI is helping a lot. #like a warm glass of milk.
No what's wrong with that? A shout out to our mutual friend Mark Thompson doing the news.
Because nobody that's reading Twitter knows that person. If you know him, text him.
Right. Say, hey, buddy, listening to you right now, you're like a warm glass of milk. Ugh. You creepy bastard.
That's that tweet.
Just
call him up and say, Mark, I'm lying here in bed trying to sleep, and I'm listening to your voice. Well, it's milky.
That would give him too much pleasure. I can't do that.
You're
but
a point taken. Bastard.
Point taken. Okay.
WTIX-FM is playing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald right now, which means I can fall asleep and wake up to the same song.
Because that's a super long song.
That's that tweet.
Beam.
No?
That's that
tweet.
Beam.
You don't get it, man.
I've said for months, if Sarah Paulson didn't win the Emmy, I would burn this mother down. I'm tired, so really glad I don't have to.
I was pleased watching the Emmys to see
that your tweets are not so complex that right. No one gets them. That's not this feature.
You're not M. Night Shyamalan, okay? It's just, you're not burning this mother down. You're not doing anything. And he spelled it mother, by the way.
Of course.
I actually spelled it Motha, M-O-T-H-A.
How do you spell it? How would you spell mother?
M-U-T-H-A.
Really? That looks weird.
That's that
tweet.
Bing.
While we're on spelling.
Sigh. It's called daylight saving time.
Savings.
You're the freaking LA Times. You should actually know that.
Oh, my God. What is that coming up? Isn't that October?
Yes, it is.
So you're a month out correcting people?
There was a bill in California that was voted on to do away with daylight saving time, and the LA Times was reporting on it, but as they so often
do, it's LA Time.
Got it wrong in the headline. Look, they need to be called out for that. They run a newspaper. They should know how to get
it. And they got the news across. They were talking about that bill. And everyone understood exactly what
it's
they were talking about.
It's pretty much interchangeable. And for some reason,
it's not interchangeable.
It is in usage. It is. In usage, it totally 100% is. Probably more people say daylight savings.
Right.
And more people are wrong. All right.
One of the reasons
we
don't follow Bean is when he's on vacation, we get a little break. We get a little respite. But you don't if you follow him on Twitter. He amps up his game. He cranks it up a notch.
I'm on vacation. But that doesn't mean you should be deprived of this new baby tapir alert.
Okay, so there's a baby
tweet.
Bean.
That was born in
the zoo. I swear to God, we understand that tweet. What do you think we don't get?
Because pictures of baby tapirs, they look like little watermelons, are the cutest things in the world, and it makes people happy to see them.
Name the people that are happy.
Well, I don't know specifically who, but there are a lot of people out there who enjoy seeing cute baby animals just trying to make the world a better place.
That's that
tweet.
Day 4 of Seattle to New Orleans went through Texas, ends in Oklahoma City, in the state where bread bag twist ties were invented.
Really? I mean,
son of a
I mean,
bitch.
Really?
I didn't realize that until I was doing the on-the-road research.
But once you realized that, you categorized it away as not important or interesting in any way?
What a genius invention. The guy who came up with that from Oklahoma City, right?
No.
It's that's something that tweet.
We all use
that's
and appreciate.
That tweet.
You don't get it.
Hey, Colorado drivers on the I-25S who slow to a crawl because of an accident on the other side of a divided highway, you make white people look bad.
Accurate. Accurate.
Why white people?
It's Colorado.
And
all there is.
How many Colorado drivers on the I-25S are following you on Twitter? Who's your audience, really, for this one?
It's a great question.
Who's your audience for this tweet?
Probably not a lot of them.
You don't think a lot of those people who were on the highway at the time that you were tweeting at them were reading your tweet?
I want to hear you say that chances are zero people read that were affected.
I would say...
Zero.
I would say less than 1,000 people.
Would you?
I would that part of the country.
Less than one. Yeah. How about half a person?
Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree.
That's that tweet.
And lastly,
I'm at Denny's on a Tuesday, not my regular day, so don't tell me I'm not a daredevil.
Tweet.
I'm going to be honest. Rarely is there a good reason to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show in the 6 o'clock hour. But today, we're proving me wrong by giving away $1,000 to you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Courtesy of the new film Masterminds in Theater Everywhere this weekend. It looks so great. Here's what I'll tell you about it. If you're a Zach Galifianakis fan, A, you want to see this movie, and B, you got a good chance to win this contest. $1,000 from the film Masterminds. If you call right now, we'll put you on hold for a couple minutes. You can play a game coming up just after the bottom of the hour here on K-Rock.
Let's talk about the debates last night.
All right. Kevin, you famously are not a grown-up, so you do not watch the news. But last night you had people over at the house.
Yep.
You watched the debate.
Yep.
You feeling good about the future of America?
What a oh, my God. I just want those hours back. How long was it? Like 5 hours?
It was 100 minutes. An hour and 40 minutes.
Seriously, though?
Yes. Seriously,
an 6 hour and 40 hours? Minutes.
No, it was.
Is it
was,
still going on?
It was less than 2 hours.
Oh.
You spent way more time at the movies every weekend than you did watching that debate last.
My Lord, it seemed like that took forever.
It did.
Well, I'll tell you who won the debate, and it's there's no contest, and the man is on the phone right now. It's time for the Trump date.
He's the guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down.
Donald J. Trump, one step closer to becoming the next president of the United States. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who rightfully said that I won the debate last night.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't universal.
It was.
I mean,
everybody, I'm getting thousands and thousands of people are saying that I won the debate. All the polls, look it up. All the polls say that I won the debate. Except for stupid CNN, which I don't watch.
You don't watch.
And
right.
It's the worst network in the history of television.
Right, although at one point in the debate last night, you did tell a story about you watching Wolf Blitzer on CNN recently.
I don't watch CNN, okay?
Okay.
Look it up.
If there were any criticisms, it would be that you said a lot of things that...
Wrong.
Okay, but you said a lot of things that weren't true. Is that things that had been already disproven...
Wrong.
And did you have any thoughts on that at all today,
Mr.
Trump?
Said that. I never said those things.
You said them in the debate, though.
Wrong.
But we heard them.
I never said it.
With our ears.
How about when you did say that, when you denied last night that you had ever said that China invented global warming as a hoax?
I never said that.
Right. Well, you tweeted it, though, and people pointed out that those were your exact words in the tweet last night.
Listen, call Sean Hannity, okay? Call Sean Hannity. He'll tell you.
That was said last night.
Sean Hannity, call him up. Why don't you call Sean Hannity?
Because we don't want to talk to...
Why don't you call Sean Hannity?
We don't care about
Wrong.
Him. Where does he work? Is he a Fox News guy?
Why not?
Mm. Why not?
Because you're now claiming that even though you were on the record saying that you supported the Iraq war, yeah, but if you asked Sean Hannity off the air, I told him I didn't. That's no defense.
Did you ask me a question?
Yes.
Look it up. Wrong. Listen... I don't know about a lot of things, okay?
Right. Okay.
But the one thing I know is everything. And I know that I did not say any of those things you're saying I said.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a problem, then maybe you're probably sitting on a bed and you're 400 pounds.
Well, that was weird that you called out the comic book guy from The Simpsons. That was kind of a surprise.
Listen, a lot of people know that I talk good, okay?
You do talk good, yes.
And there are a lot of people saying... some not nice things about me, frankly.
Uh-huh.
A lot of things they're saying are not nice. And I could say some not nice things about other people, but I won't, because
okay.
I'm above name-calling, okay, you stupid bitch.
See, that's it. That's right there was a name.
Right. And you've been saying Crooked Hillary for months, so how are you above name-calling?
You do nothing but name-call.
Listen.
Lion Ted.
There are...
Little Marco Rubio.
Thousands of people who love me, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful thing. That I rise above it, and I'm going to make America great again. I'm going to help out all the people, especially the black people,
mm-hmm. right.
who the Democrats have done nothing for, okay? Mm-hmm. They only talk to them when it's time to get their vote.
Mm-hmm.
The black people, that nothing is done for them by the Democrats. And I'm going to change that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring back Frisk, Stop and Frisk.
I don't.
Did you forget the name of it?
Yes.
I don't think
Frisk, Stop and Frisk. I'm
anyone
changing
wants
it a little
that.
Bit.
I see.
There used to be Stop and Frisk. Now it's Frisk, Stop, Frisk.
So now they can frisk before they stop?
Frisk, 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 then Stop, Stop, Frisk.
Sounds like a new dance.
So I'm going to do that for the black people. You're welcome.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Okay, but as you incorrectly pointed out last night when you said it was not ruled unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional.
But really?
It's racial profiling. Yes.
Constitution's sort of a suggestion, though, really.
No, right? It's the law.
Look, I looked it up. I looked it up on cyber, okay? I know all about the cyber.
Okay.
I have a 10-year-old son, and he has computers.
Right.
They're amazing.
You did mention
that,
yes.
And he has all the cyber.
Yeah, cyber is not a noun, Donald Trump. You know that, right?
The Constitution is just sort of like, whatever, maybe do it, maybe don't.
I don't think that's its job.
That's not how it works.
Call Sean Hannity.
We don't care about Sean.
Why don't you call Sean Hannity?
Why do we have to do that? We're talking to you.
Listen, I have a winning temperament, okay?
You did say that.
I have the best temperament.
Why are you yelling?
You're an asshole.
Why are you screaming and calling us names?
Wrong.
Mr. Trump, we're almost out of time here, but I have to ask because you didn't answer Lester Holt. He said the president's birth certificate was produced in 2011. You continued to call it into question in 2012,
right.
2013,
I did a great job.
2014.
I got a great job. I got him to show the birth certificate.
But 5 years after the birth certificate is how long it took you to finally admit he was born in America. What took you so long and what changed your mind?
ISIS.
What?
ISIS?
ISIS.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I was just trying to distract you.
Sit down.
Kevin, I know you're the same way I am. If Zach Galifianakis is in a movie, you're in the movie theater.
Correct.
He can do no wrong.
Correct.
As far as I'm concerned. And you put him together with Kristen Wiig and with Owen Wilson in this film called Masterminds that is based on a real story of one of the largest bank heists in American history by people who were so unqualified to pull that crime off. It just looks hilarious. The website is mastermindsmovie.com. The film is in theaters this Friday, and we want to give away $1,000 to you right now, courtesy of Masterminds at 1-800-520-1067. Tell me about this game.
This game, you're going to have to identify Zach Galifianakis movies. We're going to play
like
a clip.
It.
We're going to play a clip for you, and then you just have to tell us which Zach Galifianakis movie this is. It's called Zach Attack.
Guess the Zach movie in a flash, and you get $1,000 cash. Come on and guess the movie now. You just need a lot of Zach know-how. Zachity Zach.
Zach Attack.
Ow!
Well, Judd J. Omar Khan, let's meet our first contestant. We're going to go to line one in Northridge and say hi to Chris, who again, 6:30 in the morning, he's on the line possibly to win $1,000, courtesy of Masterminds. Great way to start the day. How are you, Chris?
Good. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good. All right, you ready for your movie?
Yep.
Here you go.
Four of us wolves running around the desert together in Las Vegas looking for strippers and cocaine.
If you don't get that, I will punch you right in the face.
The Hangover.
Yes,
it
sir.
It is The Hangover.
Zackity right. Zack.
Zack Attack.
You are one step closer. Please hang on, Chris. Let's go to line two. Say hi to Kathy. She's in L.A.
Ooh, good. Kathy's a surgeon. Way too smart to be listening to us.
Good morning, Catherine.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, you ready?
I think.
Here's your Zach Galifianakis movie. Good luck.
Get him the out of my play. I'm not going to stand up there.
It's a preview. Nobody gives a about a preview. Nothing matters until that old bat from the New York Times is sitting on that audience opening night.
Birdman.
Yes, correct.
Zackity Zack.
Zack Attack.
Nicely done.
Two for two. Way to go, Kathy. Let's go to line three, please. Ani is in Glendale. She's up next trying to win the money.
Hey, Ani.
Hey.
Are you ready for your Zach Galifianakis movie?
I hope so.
Here you go.
It's medical marijuana, Peter.
No, it's weed.
Why do you have to make everything so dark?
It's not dark. It's weed. And I'm saying I really don't want to stop and buy drugs.
I didn't want to play this card. Certainly not this early. But guess what? Guess who's got the Subaru Impreza? Me. Guess who's got all the money? Me. Guess who's got a winning personality? Me.
What's the film there, Ronnie?
The Hangover?
No. Unfortunately, I already used that one. That was the very funny Due Date movie.
Sorry. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's go to Amanda in Chino. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for your movie?
I hope so.
Here you go.
I host a dinner once a month.
Why can't you just suck it up, make fun of some idiots?
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
I can't move.
Oh,
buried, move. Just move.
I can't.
Yeah, you can.
I can't.
I release you.
What Zach Galifianakis movie is that, please, Amanda?
Dinner for Schmucks.
That's correct. Nicely done.
Zachity Zach.
Zach attack.
We got Chris, Kathy, Amanda, so far all in the drawing to win the $1,000 courtesy of Zach Galifianakis' new film called Masterminds in theater this Friday. Frank is up next. Hacienda Heights, line 5, please.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You ready?
I'll guess it before you even say it. The campaign.
You sure you don't want us to play the clip first?
Are you positive?
Nah, I'm positive.
Well, I'm sorry. That's okay. That is incorrect. But thank you for playing the game.
Okay.
Right. I feel like that was not a winning strategy.
I don't understand what just happened.
He insisted on guessing without hearing the clip.
Hates money.
Why would he do that?
Frank hates money.
This is for $1,000.
He was not willing to
what
go forward.
What just happened?
Unless he had less information than he could get.
And after he said it, we said, are you sure giving him another chance? What just happened?
But what if he was right? Right?
That would have been amazing.
It would have been amazing, but he wasn't.
But he wasn't.
He took that chance, you guys. You got to respect it.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. It's $1,000 he just threw away.
He is a baller, but he is a broke baller.
Let's go to Michelle and Reseda. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Well, we're all right.
Michelle, our advice is go ahead and let us play the clip first and then guess the movie, okay?
You know what? I was going to wait for it.
All right, good.
Okay.
Here you go.
Why are you in an ER at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning? See, there's this girl... Yeah, gotcha. In this summer school, why would you want to be in school in the summer? You should be on Coney Island, bird dogging chicks. Are you a doctor?
That's a good hint. He is not a doctor. But what's the film, Michelle?
I don't know, so I'm going to guess Bubble Boy.
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's kind of a funny story. Is the name
of
that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, we got time for one more.
Remember that guy that just said the answer before listening?
I do.
That was weird. Kevin in Chatsworth, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Are you ready for your Zach Galifianakis movie?
Yep.
Here you go.
Let me give you some trash talk, okay? Your mama's like a vacuum cleaner. She gets laid in the closet.
You should take a bath in the toilet. I just want to do the debate.
No, now I go. You're such a little turd. That when you sit in sand, cats try to bury you.
Should have had more of that on last night's debate.
What is the answer to that?
That is the campaign.
That is the campaign, yes. Remember that guy that... Okay.
Do you want to do one more?
Zach!
You want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Let's do one more.
Let's do Andy in East LA. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Here's your movie.
Shut up! He's dead! Look, if someone comes and finds a dead body and a pile of cocaine, we're gonna spend the rest of our lives in a die prison. Alan, please stop crying.
All right, what movie's that?
Hangover 2?
Yes!
You're so lucky.
Zachity Zach!
You're so lucky.
All right.
Hangover 2.
Andy is in the drawing, as is Kevin, Amanda, Kathy, Chris. You know who's not in the drawing? Frank.
Frank's the best.
However, someone, courtesy of Masterminds in theaters everywhere this Friday with the great Zach Galifianakis, Kristen Wiig, and so much more, will win $1,000. Miss Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
Congratulations, Kevin!
Kevin! Congratulations, Kevin!
Thank you, guys, so
you
much.
Won the $1,000. Enjoy it, and thanks for playing the game.
Zachity Zach!
Zach attack.
Ow!
Look, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I have great temperament.
You are listening to the Kevin
I have the best show. Cocaine. Thousands of people have told me I have the best cocaine you can get. Really, really great cocaine.
You guys, really, though, what was that sniffing?
What was that,
that was
about?
Crazy.
And Governor Howard Dean, of all people, calling him out as potentially being on coke.
Yeah!
Like, who
the guy who knows? Howard Dean would know.
He was very excited.
Yeah!
The last thing anyone expected. Hey, it's Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for tuning into the Kevin Bean Show. Allie, are you going to be able to contain yourself for the next 10 minutes before we get Milo Ventimiglia on the phone?
I'm going to be fine. Ralph, you can stop doing that motion that you're doing.
I know you have a lot of feelings about him.
I do. I have a
show, This Is Us.
A lot of Milo feelings.
A lot of Milo feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway, he'll be joining us right after the top of the hour, the great Steve Aoki in the 8 o'clock hour. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat.
Of course, we were referring to the big first debate of the presidential candidates last night. They're saying over 100 million people may have
Wrong.
Tuned in.
when they get the final ratings in. So,
wow.
A lot of people were watching.
First presidential debate Kevin's watched as a grown-up.
Hey, that's true. If you can get Kevin to watch something political,
Oh, dear Lord, that was a mistake.
You know.
How can you not want to see the next one, Kevin?
That was because that was a complete waste of time.
First of all, it wasn't. And second of all, the next one's going to be a town hall format. So there's going to be people. Mm. There'll be people standing, sitting around.
That's going to be great. And you guys can tell me all about it.
No, but you're going to miss Trump call some girl fat in the audience. It's going to be amazing.
Wrong. Look how much weight she's gained, Miss Piggy.
And I just have to say this, just for representation on the other side. The body double that they had standing in for Hillary Clinton last night looked vital.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She looked healthy.
Yeah.
There was no danger of
Robot
of
Hillary Parkinson's. Is really an accomplishment of animatronics. You're
it really
right.
is.
No
it's very
stool
impressive.
On that stage for her to lean on?
Right, because the real Hillary Clinton is
somebody
maybe
lost their bowels or something. You're talking about stools.
Don't you remember Stoolgate?
Oh, that's right, yes.
Because the real Hillary is a week from death.
Probably. Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's on her deathbed. Yeah.
The campaign just doesn't want us to know it, so they send out the robot who actually does a very convincing job.
Can we just vote today? Let's get this over with.
43 days? Is that what I heard? 42 days?
Unbelievable. This has been going on half my life. This election cycle.
You sound like Trump.
Seriously.
You've been fighting ISIS for most of your adult life.
Wrong.
He said Hillary Clinton.
ISIS has been around for 3 years, guys.
3 years.
You've been fighting them since the late 1960s, which is pretty cool. If she has done that, she's has the vision to be president, I think, because she knew it was coming down the pike. Oh. She's a time traveler.
Wrong. Wouldn't that be cool if she was a time traveler?
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Guys, this is real life, though. We're not talking about a new reality.
Is this real life?
This is real life.
But it's hard to say. Show business and politics are crossing lines. They're blurring. I saw yesterday, but the cast of Will and Grace got back together again.
Oh.
To film a new mini episode of Will and Grace where their characters talk about the election.
Why?
Deborah Messing, Eric McCormick, Megan Mullally, and Sean Hayes all came back to reprise their roles from their characters on the very popular sitcom Will and Grace.
Why?
Because, Kevin, they have election feelings, and they're part of a vote registration effort to get people out to register for the vote, regardless of who you're going to vote for. They think everyone should register and vote. So the premise was basically how important it is to vote. Your vote counts.
Why?
And Kevin, this was a wildly popular sitcom, and so people were excited to see them reunite.
Why?
And I have to say, it was really impressive what they did. They reproduced the set identically. Everybody looked great. The cast came back. They seemed like they had writers on staff that really captured the flavor of that show. I don't know if you ever watched that sitcom or not.
Didn't.
But it's weird. It's sort of like a time leap where the characters are in present day talking about the election. Here's a little piece of that show.
The closest person in your life, Rosario, is a Mexican-American. And the things that Donald Trump has said about the Mexican people is so offensive.
She's not Mexican. She's from El Salvador.
What's the difference?
How do you know that Donnie is one of my oldest friends? Oh. I helped him pick out Melania. And I love what he's doing with Rosario's people. How do you think I got the idea to have architect build a wall to keep her out of the main house?
Check that out.
Will and Grace. Back.
Now, Allie, were you ultimately disappointed that it's not
a
bigger return to the show?
I saw them tweeting over the weekend, pictures together, reading from a script, everything. I truly believed one of my all-time favorite shows was coming back.
They were coming,
and I was
so
pumped. And then I saw that.
You got an extra episode. You got a little bonus footage.
It was 9 minutes. It was fine. But still, come on. Karen Walker. I need Karen Walker in my life.
Jack. You're greedy.
I am.
I thought it was pretty impressive.
It was. It was amazing. Now let's get them on Netflix and do 13 episodes. Who's with me?
I don't think they're with you, and that's the part of the problem.
That's a big part of it.
Probably why it won't happen. Speaking of shows that are coming back, CBS giving us another reboot show. What are they bringing back? SWAT.
Oh.
Hey, the drummer
that
just
was
fell.
The worst.
Wow. Drummer stopped drumming.
How about that?
SWAT.
That seems like
SWAT. There's Dean. The SWAT team at his fingertips.
Sure.
SWAT!
I've been waiting for this day.
SWAT. SWAT. SWAT.
This would be easy to reboot, I would think. Just like any hospital, any police
high
drama.
Concept. Yeah. No one remembers the original characters. Didn't make a big impression. The biggest impression probably made of that show from the 70s was the theme song.
Yeah.
But there were, it was about a bunch. Well, SWAT stands for, Kevin, of course. You know what SWAT stands for.
The Southwestern Asshole.
Oh. One more. Come on. Any word that starts with a T, Kevin. You can do
Thinkers.
It.
Thinkers.
Oh, Kevin. It was the Southwestern Asshole Thinkers. That's
right?
Correct.
I think that's close.
He got hung up on a word
I did.
That begins with a T.
Couldn't think of any word.
Could not think of a word with a T.
That happened.
Wasn't there a reboot as a movie a few
There was
years
a feature
ago,
film in 2003, Bean. I'm so glad you brought that up. That was not that well received, but it starred Colin Farrell. Hmm. And this will be a rebooted, the highly trained Special Weapons and Tactics squad.
Close.
Will, be out there kicking ass and taking names. So, CBS. I bet they'll be young, hot, and sexy, though, this time around. They'll be 20-something hot, sexy swatters. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Maron's 53 years old today. Thank you, Allie, for letting me know about that. Our producer, King of Mexico, Dave, neglected to have that name on
Not
the list.
Not my fault.
But he did make sure to get his dog, Rhonda Ruffy, on the list.
Yeah.
That one year.
Priorities.
Yeah. Mark Maron's 53. Grace Helbig is 31 years old. Avril Lavigne, 32. Lil Wayne is 34. Gwyneth Paltrow, 44 years old today. Meatloaf is 69 years old. And our own Christine, who works on the show, our assistant producer, celebrates her birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you what's enormously satisfying is when one of the most anticipated TV shows of the fall season also turns out to be one of the best. This Is Us, Tuesday nights at 10 on ABC, premiered to huge numbers last week. It is back again for another new episode tonight. We are so excited to welcome Milo Ventimiglia to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. It's been a number of years since we had you on, Milo. How are you?
I'm great. It has been a while.
I think Heroes Days was the last time you talked to Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, so we're talking a decade then. We're talking
That's
a decade.
Right.
That was about 10 years ago.
You got to stop. We're doing great, but I got to start with this. Please stop tweeting Allie McKay because she already thinks you guys are married.
We are. We're married. We have a great relationship. We love the L.A. Kings. I mean, it's a match made in heaven.
Marriage made in L.A. It's perfect.
Thank you for noticing.
Well, congratulations on This Is Us. And I guess the first question I have to ask is, you probably get asked a lot, let's talk about your facial hair feelings, because I suspect, now that we know, spoiler alert, now that we know the time and decade that your character is living in for part of the show, I suspect we're going to see a lot of different facial hairs on you, Milo.
Yeah, the idea is that once you know that Jack and Rebecca now are the parents to Sterling K. Brown, Justin Hartley, and Chrissy Metz, the three kids, you're going to see them through different decades of their life.
Is that fun for you?
I'm sorry?
Is that fun for you?
I think it's a nice little helper to jump into whatever you're playing, whatever scene you're playing, whatever decade I happen to be in. Like when I'm hitting 88, or maybe sometime in the 90s, or maybe before the pilot actually happened in like the mid 70s. It's one of those things that, you know, you jump right into the decade, like, you know, tossing on clothes or anything like that. So it helps.
Oh, I was not expecting that twist at all. I don't think anybody was. Did your phone light up after the premiere? Like, what just happened?
Worse than a birthday. You know, like birthday messages that were like, hey, happy birthday. Then you're like, you get a little disappointed because somebody doesn't message you on your birthday.
Right.
This was everyone, including, like, I mean, it was everyone. There are people that, like, friends, parents from elementary school that somehow tracked me down were like, wow, man, I was like, you had my husband crying. I'm like, I don't know who your husband is.
That was the number one thing that people were talking about on social media on Tuesday night with this show, is how many people were willing to admit that they were sitting in front of their TV and, like in Ali's case, alone, just weeping. I mean, it's hard to get people to cry on TV, but it seems like your show did that to almost everyone who watched it.
I mean, even myself, whenever we get to that point at the very end where Chrissy Metz is talking about, come on, Kev, what did Dad say about the lemons? Like, I start to tear up. Hardly I'm thinking, like,
God, the discovery of what's happening, but also I'm like, that's my daughter saying that.
Right.
You know?
I mean, just the trailer alone, when it was released, had, what, close to 10 million views?
I mean, I think within hours, maybe 2 hours, like it got to 10, 11, 12, and then it kept rising.
Insane. How much of that was because your butt was bare within the first few seconds of that trailer?
I mean, listen, my butt was ready. Mm-hmm. My butt was absolutely ready for the role of a lifetime.
Yeah.
And all.
We've got genius, smart producers.
Yeah.
Who are like, let's give the women and some of the men something to be excited about.
Listen, well, I watched it 48 times.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it either, truth be told. This is the voice of actor Milo Ventimiglia on the Kevin Beach, and we're talking about his NBC TV show called This Is Us that airs Tuesday nights at 10. Let's give a shout-out to your co-stars a little bit. Sterling K. Brown, who he's been doing great work forever, but we all really rediscovered him with The People versus O.J. Yep. Simpson. Is your brother in the show. He's or your son in the show. He's incredible.
His son. He's remarkable. He's remarkable.
He's great. And Mandy Moore, who doesn't have a crush on Mandy Moore?
that's the thing. It's like, you know, she is truly America's sweetheart. And I tell people now, I say, listen, if you're not already in love with her, you're going to fall in love with her on this. I promise you.
Yeah.
She is so talented, so special. And, you know, I mean, she is such a giving actor, but at the same time, she's a human being. And the best kind of human being. She's the best.
We love her, too. I want to play one clip from the show, Milo, and this is part of why people were crying, is because you're in a hospital and your wife, Mandy Moore, is getting ready to have birth to triplets. Unfortunately, there are some complications. And Gerald McCraney, I think, is playing the doctor in this case. And he, by the way, give him an Emmy today, please, for that performance last night.
I'm not positive that's how it works.
I don't know how it works either, Kevin.
I think you just hand him out. Yeah.
He was so incredible, and you'll hear a little bit of how brilliant the writing and the acting is on This Is Us in this scene from last week's show.
We lost the third baby, Jack. I'm very sorry. The second baby is a girl, very strong.
I'm sorry. I'm not processing anything. My wife
is fine. And she'll be awake pretty soon. You have two beautiful, healthy children, Jack. Boy and a girl. But we did lose the third child.
Oh, God.
Come on.
It's so good.
Why would you do that?
It's so good.
Milo, let me ask you a question. A lot of people see something that looks like it's going to be depressing, and they stay away from it because there's enough depressing stuff in the world. What is it about this particular show? And I saw a lot of chatter and a lot of my friends before the show came out that were looking forward to having that emotional response to this show. How is it different?
I think in a TV landscape that's got scandal, it's got crime, it's got, you know, superhero and alien wars. I think people want to feel. I think people want to relate. I think people want to experience something that is within the realm of possibility happening to them. And that's kind of what that little 2-minute clip did to a lot of people. It showed them that we are all in this together, so to say. It's a very inclusive show. It's a show that steps outside of age and race and gender and socioeconomic and just is like, hey, this is for you. This is for all of us. And I think that was the reason why people were connected.
USA!
To
USA!
Right?
Right?
That is really well said, and I think that people are going to fall in love with your family on this TV show. And I mean, we're so excited about the return of the show tonight for episode 2, Milo. It's great to catch up with you. Congratulations.
Yeah, hold on. Allie has one more question.
We are not letting him go without bringing up Jess, are we?
Go ahead.
Come on, the Gilmore Girls.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Fourth or fifth.
Covered it.
He's not going to tell us anything. That's why I didn't bring it up. He won't say a word.
Come on,
about
Jess
it.
And Rory get
together,
right?
He said November 24th or 25th.
Yeah, but they're gonna be together, right? Jess and Rory, please.
In a scene, yeah.
Oh, Milo, you're a bad man.
No, I mean, you know, every second to the birthday scale proportion of messages I got from This Is Us, I probably have had more strangers, complete, absolute strangers, walk up to me and ask me about Gilmore Girls. And I keep telling everyone, I said, listen, just put down your wants that you've been harboring for the last 9 or 10 years.
Okay.
And just watch. Just watch. It's really great. I mean, Amy Sherman Palladino and Dan Palladino, you know, the original creator and producers, they're back and they created these, you know, lovely episodes. And they're just classic Gilmore.
All right, Allie, are you good?
You're saying there's a chance. Right?
There's always a chance.
Okay, cool.
All right, Gilmore Girls at Thanksgiving. This is us tonight at 10 on NBC. Milo, so much fun to have you back on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for calling in, dude.
Always the best, man. Anytime. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks. We appreciate it.
Our friend Steve Aoki has a fascinating documentary about his life. He's accomplished a lot for a guy who's 35 years old, hasn't he?
Yep. Sure has.
And he somehow manages to put 40 hours into every day. I don't know how he does it, but no one goes harder than Steve Aoki. Anyway, he'll be joining us next hour to talk all about it here on K-Rock. First, though, we come on every morning around 5:30 and shoot the breeze. And yesterday, I brought up a topic that has been talked about on the internet a lot lately because NASA has talked about how the constellations have changed. They're not anywhere near where they were 3,000 years ago when astrology began. And they were just saying, I think it was just kind of a cute story for them. They were just saying, look, here, the astrological sign that you think you are is not your sign anymore because you're not in that relationship with that constellation anymore. And NASA is astronomy. They don't have anything to do with astrology, but they just thought it would be an interesting sidebar story. Well, the internet just went berserk over that. People went crazy that NASA or anyone was screwing with their astrology, because for a lot of people, astrology is an important part of their life because it helps them know who they should date, why they feel the way they feel, why they get hungry, lots of things that they think are controlled by the stars. And somebody on the show, and I don't want to name any names, but, you know, I think you can guess who she is, kind of stood up for astrology a little bit. And that surprised me.
Huh.
it surprised me because you don't seem like the type of person who would be into astrology.
All right, look, here's the thing. We try not to talk about certain topics because you don't make any progress. Is there a God and politics? They all suck. Everybody just yells at each other.
Right.
But I feel like this is one of those as well. But we're going to try because it's dumb.
Listen, do I rule my life by astrology? No.
Oh, okay.
A little bit. No, but I do look at, you know, maybe you want to look at your horoscope. Maybe you want to look at, oh, I'm an air sign. What does that mean? Just look into all the different aspects of it and see if it gives you kind of an insight into your personality.
Okay, well, it doesn't. But in case you're curious, an air sign, Allie, air signs are rational. So already you're out.
Okay.
Social.
Right.
Not you.
Come on.
And love communication and relationships with other people.
Hello?
Again, no,
all
no,
those
no.
Things are me.
Yeah. Online communication
things.
Is you. Everything else is not you. You're not
you're
rational, social, or enjoy relationships with other people. They are thinkers.
Duh.
Nope.
Obvi.
Friendly.
Duh.
Nope. Intellectual. Hell no.
Nailed it.
Communicative and analytical.
All of those things.
They love philosophical discussions.
All the time. Can't get enough.
Social gatherings.
So, okay.
Which one are you, Allie? We're looking up your daily horoscope. Which one?
I'm a Gemini.
Gemini.
Thank you.
And now, is that the new one or the old one?
No, the new one.
The new one.
The new one doesn't count.
Well,
none
I'm
of that
saying,
counts.
Well, how does it not count if it's
it
more
accurate?
It doesn't
count because it's not true. It's
just NASA?
It's, yeah, NASA. Who believes those guys? Come on.
But none of it is true, though. That's the thing.
But it's
all made up.
Sure. But couldn't it be fun just to look at? Like, you
right,
meet someone
but
new, and you're like, oh, what sign are you? Oh, I'm a Sagittarius.
If I talk to somebody
God,
and they
great.
Say, what sign are you? I just turn and walk away.
Really?
Yeah, because there's no conversation
it
to be had there.
It doesn't, you know, come up and maybe you're having a few drinks, and then you start
never.
Talking.
Because
no?
I think my response is, and I mean it without hate,
sure.
But my response is just to attack.
Okay.
If you were to ask me what my sign was, I would say, I don't know, because that's stupid.
Okay.
Because I do think it's stupid. Because you can find two different people that are supposedly born on the same day and have the same sign and everything else that are opposite in every way.
I think in this day and age, with how much we don't relate to other people, how much we can't find any commonality.
Let's come up with something fake.
Why not? Why the hell not? Absolutely.
By the way,
what is your sign?
I don't know. I think it's Aries.
Okay.
It's March 29th. I don't know if it's been changed now by NASA. What do I do with that, Allie?
Well,
what do I do?
That's something you are going to have to figure out.
My problem is that they're so, everything, like the horoscopes and everything, they're all so general. Hey, today's a good day to for you to make money. And you should think about reconnecting with old friends.
All positive
things.
Right,
but isn't that true every day?
Sure, so, but maybe you focus on it a little more that day when you see it. Maybe you reconnect with an old friend that day. Nothing but positive.
It says here, by the way, Kevin, and we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you're an astrology believer, we want to hear from you. Maybe we don't understand it. Tell us what we're missing about astrology. Here's what I find about Aries.
Yes.
Your greatest overall compatibility is with Leos and Sagittariuses.
Okay, I don't know what those are, but okay.
The best for marriage and partnerships is Libra.
Okay.
Now, is there any chance your wife is a Libra?
No idea.
Okay. Your lucky
January. She's born January.
Your lucky numbers are 1 and 9, it says here.
Oh, I have lucky numbers.
Your strengths are that you are courageous, determined, confident, enthusiastic, optimistic,
Does it list never right?
Honest and passionate. By the way, none of those are bad things. Here's
but all of those are just general things that everybody would like to think of themselves, right?
Here's your weaknesses. Okay. Impatient.
Yeah, very.
Moody.
Right.
Short-tempered.
Ooh.
Impulsive. Okay. Aggressive.
Right.
I mean that's there pretty... is no one more aggressive than Kevin, right?
And here's what I'm saying. Like, how many... If you were to just read that to people and tell them that that was their... the description of them, they would go, okay, yeah, that's probably pretty right.
Because it's most people.
Yes.
Okay.
It's too general.
Aries likes. This is going to blow you away, by the way. Comfortable clothes is number one on Aries likes.
That's pretty accurate.
Taking on leadership roles, physical challenges, and individual sports.
Wow.
That kind of sounds like you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Your dislikes, inactivity.
Yes.
Very true.
Right.
Delays.
Right, hey.
Very true.
But doesn't everybody? That's my point.
And work.
Why are you so aggressive?
And here's my favorite. Among your dislikes are work that does not use one's talents, which is your entire career. That's your whole life. So that's curious. As much as I want to
poo-poo
being an Aries, this really does sound like
it
fits
Bean.
You.
But I'm Bean, saying, let's read yours.
All right, let's see what
let's read yours, Bean, because this just, I don't know. I don't. If you want to call 1-800-520-1067 and you have some help for us, because it's just everything that Bean says is going to be pretty much true of everybody. That's my problem with this.
Yeah, I'm not.
Allie says your communication skills are known.
Yeah, obviously.
All right,
and
here's
you're known to rock a microphone.
Oh, word.
That's what it says.
I just came to get down.
All right, here's me, by the way. This is I'm a Scorpio, November 14th, by the way. By the way, Kevin, you are ruled by Mars. This won't surprise you. I am ruled by...
There's no ruled by Mars.
I am ruled by Pluto, according to my...
Pluto's not even a planet. That's how wrong this is.
Let me see. My lucky numbers are 9, 18, 27, 36, 45, 54, 63, 72, 71, and 90.
I only had two numbers.
my strengths are resourceful.
Okay.
Brave.
Nope.
Passionate.
Nope.
Stubborn.
Yeah.
Yep.
A true friend.
Aww.
Nope.
Weaknesses. Distrusting.
Ooh.
Jealous. Secretive and violent. My Scorpio likes are truth. Oh, how about this? Truth. Facts, being right,
wow,
longtime friends,
nope,
no,
teasing,
no,
brand
never,
passion, and my dislikes are dishonesty, revealing secrets, and passive people. So that's what we know about Scorpios right there.
And I'm saying that about half of that's right for you and probably half of it isn't.
I'd say 98% was right.
Let's talk to Elliot in North Hollywood. First call before the break is going to be line 3, please. He thinks that... That he believes in astrology and that it does have some impact on how we live our lives on Earth.
Hey,
right,
Elliot?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're all right.
What are we missing? What's going on with this astrology?
Well, I think, you know, in your day-to-day life, you might run into somebody who says, oh, the Mercury's in retrograde or the
I heard that this week. A friend said I'm having a terrible week because Mercury is in retrograde.
Same.
And I laughed.
Right. And things like that. And if you think about the moon having an impact on the tide. For example, if you think about us as humans and the forces in the universe, whether they're planetary or otherwise, that have an impact on the universe as a whole, it would be naive, I think, to suggest that things like that couldn't have an impact on us, both in the moment we're born, throughout our lives, us having, you know, different rotational cycles.
But wouldn't you say that much, much, much more of what happens to you is determined by you and your attitude and your decision-making?
But what determines
more,
that?
More, maybe, but I think it gives you a predisposition to feel certain ways at certain times when the universe, when the planets are in certain forms of alignment.
Elliot, you get me.
Elliot, so you're do you honestly think, and this is a serious question, so I was born on November 14th. If I had been born 2 weeks later, say, and would have been in a different astrological sign, do you think my personality and my life would have been vastly different than they were, even though I was raised by the same parents and went to, through the same experiences?
Vastly? I can't say, because there are a lot of things in the universe that we don't understand. But I think that if you think about the relationships between the different things in the universe, the way that they're pulling on you, literally and figuratively, that you are predisposed to develop certain ways. I would write off, just as quickly as you guys were, the, you know, little tidbits of seemingly fortune cookie wisdom that you might get from...
But that's all it is.
...a horoscope. It's not, though. If you look at the things that you were just describing and how they might predispose you to be more aggressive or more kind or more whatever, those are...
But Elliot, I'm saying everybody has those struggles of being too aggressive, less aggressive, too kind, less kind.
I think you're focusing too much on astrology being these traits. Astrology is math and gravitational pull and all of that entwined into what time you were born, that type of thing. It's not just, oh, an Aries is aggressive. It's so much more.
So Elliot is as crazy as Allie. That's
the
conclusion.
Well, Elliot gets it and can get it.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for the call.
Let's not put it anyway, Elliot. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067. What do you have to add to what Elliot told us? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
And I'm a Sagittarius, which is why I'm so good with people and horses. But it also makes me, like, really sleepy.
Wow, that's a good that's a good point right there. 1-800-520-1067. We are trying to understand astrology, back in the news recently because NASA came out with an article suggesting that maybe your zodiac sign has changed because the stars are not in the same place as they were 3,000 years ago when it was all invented.
So when would they have changed? Wouldn't it have been a long time ago?
I feel numerous times it would have changed. Yeah.
So it would change all the time.
So if you really do believe in it, then you've been way off for quite some time.
Or look at the date and time that you were born and that year and what it was at that year, and then that would be your true sign.
For life, regardless of what happens after. All right, well, let's find out what Avo has to say. He or she is in Valencia calling us on line 8 and is down with astrology. Hey, Avo.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good.
Good. Well, the point I wanted to make was that, you know, Bean said, you know, what if, you know, he was born 2 days later? He would have had the same life experiences. I firmly believe he wouldn't have had the same life experiences if he was born 2 days after.
In other words, if I was born in a different sign than the sign I was born under, you think that would have been a major impact on my life?
Yeah.
But same parents, same family, same childhood?
Right, but you don't know if you would have had the same childhood, though. Those 2 days could have made the world's difference to you and your decisions and you know, things to come in your life.
But I think it's more likely that my life would have been identical. I just would have had a different birthday. What makes you think it would have been significantly different?
Because I don't believe that you have free will of decision.
Nobody has any free will of decision.
Right.
Really?
Like if I were to put two beers in front of you and I said, you know, pick one, that you don't have a free will of a mindless decision on picking which beer. You pick one based off of either it's a life's path or a past experience or something of your liking. There's really no free will. So
what if you just put on a blindfold and then you just reach out whichever one your hand hits?
Well, I mean, again, I don't know. I mean,
I reject you. I reject you, Avo. Denies.
I agree with Ali too. I mean, if you get down to the nitty gritty and do the whole time of day and all that, I mean, I think it's more of a, you know, a destiny.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Avo, we're going to show you some free will on how we work these phones right now. Thank you for the call. Let's try Leonora. Hollywood, please. Line 1.
Leonora, hi.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good because Mercury is not in retrograde.
And I'm ruled by Pluto, apparently.
Okay. First of all, I want to address, what was the last guy's name? Otto?
Avo.
Yes. Avo, yeah.
Okay, well, that's the point of astrology, is we have free will. And that's why we don't always follow our tendency in the sign is because free will comes into play and may change our choice, our motivation. See, a lot of people behave similarly, but it's astrology gives you the motivation.
How does astrology give you the motivation? Like, I've lived my entire life without astrology, and I feel like I'm motivated.
No. I'm talking about me understanding you.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm talking about me understanding you, and that's not happening.
I don't understand anything.
Nora, we're glad you called. Thank you. Let's go to Aaron, L.A., line 4.
What's happening?
You
people trying to explain it. If you really believe in astrology, these people should be making you mad because they're not doing a good job of it.
Yes.
All right, let's try Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Help
us.
Good morning. Me and my daughter called in. She asked me to call because we believe in astrology, too.
Okay.
But I don't think we're very kooky people. I think we're really normal, and we don't, like, it's not like every little decision is based on astrology, but we feel like it's a really good guide to maybe, like, natural tendencies.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Like, when I was reading the description of Kevin's sign, the Aries, he said, yeah, some of those things are pretty true about me, but I think they're also pretty true about everybody else. It's kind of universal because people are people, right? I mean, is there really that much difference between a Leo and a Sagittarius?
Okay, I totally hear what you're saying. I disagree. Like, I'm a Libra.
Okay.
And my daughter, Mia, is a Taurus. And Tauruses are very, like, they're the bull. So, like, they're, like, their most character, like, strong characteristic is being, like, stubborn, right?
Right.
And I have stubborn moments. My kid is stubborn across the board.
All right, but here's, Aaron, let me just ask this question. Aren't all kids stubborn?
Not like mine. I've met other kids.
Well, maybe your child's the devil. Maybe you should.
Well, I don't know that we're prepared to say that. Yeah. But maybe.
Maybe an exorcism. No.
Yeah. Don't you think you could go to Mia's school and find 20 other Tauruses there who don't have a personality at all like your daughter's?
I think you're right about, like, the personality where they wouldn't, like, interact with me the way that my child interacts with me. But I think you would find that they do have strong characteristics that are defined, like, you know, how they, all the signs are defined a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, mine being a Libra, I'm very creative. I have friends that are Libras, too. They're very similar to me. I have friends that aren't, and they have different strengths.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, well, your phone's breaking up, I'm sorry to say. Last question for me then.
No, but let's ask another question, Bean, since her phone is breaking up.
Do you wake up every day and read your horoscope for some sort of guidance as to how the day's going to be?
No, but there's something even funnier that I do that you will think I'm crazy for. I don't read my horoscope, but I pull my own cards, like, based on my birth order and things like that.
You pull your own cards.
I do. I follow a lot of those guys. I think it's true, and I also think that I think it's all energetic. And I
I don't know. Say, I don't know.
California's great, guys.
He's saying we're all fruits and nuts.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Based on these calls.
That's what he's doing.
These are the people that we're sharing the world with right now.
Well, there's great people on hold that we're not going to get to, and I apologize to you because you look like y'all made sense.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
We're going to tell you about a great job opportunity, I think, if you love to cuddle with people. Ugh. Apparently, it is now a profession. It's now
that
a way
you
can make
it. That's cuddle, not Ralph. Cuddling.
That's not how you cuddle.
That's not cuddling.
Very different.
Something completely different. We'll tell you all about that. Then the great Steve Aoki joins us in studio coming up next hour as well here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Robert Kardashian.
Guilty.
Sock King Robert Kardashian. Sock Emperor.
Whatever happened to his sock line? Did it take off?
It must. He must be a huge sock mogul by now, right?
I can't imagine.
Can he? Isn't he the king of the socks?
Well, I mean, that was his goal.
Is he a sock king? Isn't he Larry Greenwood, king of the socks?
What
I don't know what you're saying.
Who's the bedspread king? Remember the guy? Who just had a store full of bedspreads?
It was Al Greenwood
or Al Greenspan.
Something like that.
Al Green. I think it was Reverend Al Green, king of the, the bedspreads.
I don't know who any of those people
you
are.
You know who he was. He had 9 billion commercials, and you interviewed him, Kevin.
But we did. We had him on
the show.
That
means nothing, Ralph. Yeah. You know that. Because I'm an Aries, and Mars is in retrograde.
Anyway, Robert Kardashian, the sock king, is all cheesed off at his sister and posted on his Instagram the following. Didn't invite the mother of my child to a baby shower? You are all trying to throw for me? You all must have lost your damn minds, posted Robert Kardashian regarding his family. And so he took the rational way in dealing with any family drama. He promptly posted on social media his sister Kylie's phone number.
Okay.
Oh, Kylie's number. 818.
That doesn't seem ideal.
482.
Yeah, I don't think we can.
He posted it. It's the news.
I know.
It's
public now.
It's public now. I'm not saying you should call Kylie's number and say, "What's up, Kylie?" I'm not saying you should do that.
I'm assuming it's already changed. When did he put that out? When did he
post it? I don't know. Sometime this morning, right?
Oh, okay. You do not want to get on the Sock King's bad side.
No, you don't, because he will post your number. He said Kylie's number. Will we get in trouble if I say it out loud?
I don't think so.
It's still there. I just refreshed his page. It's still on his page.
Well, let's err on the side of not getting sued,
I guess. We have been sued before for that.
Yeah. Kylie's number. And then, I ain't hacked either. This is Rob Dog.
He said himself, Rob Dog?
So it's confirmation. If he says it's Rob Dog, it's Rob Dog. Rob Dog, king of socks.
Ralph, I have an ad up from Al Greenwood, the bedspread king.
Thank you.
Would we like to hear it?
Yes.
Let's see what it's like.
Welcome to Al Greenwood's bedspread kingdom. 100% off, plus a free car and a trip to Hawaii.
What?
You believe all that?
Yes.
At Al Greenwood's bedspread kingdom, we don't sell you a lot of blue sky. If you can't find the bedspread you want here, you ain't going to find it no place.
What?
I think I have the largest stock of fan folders ready to hang grapes anywhere. I even have floor-to-ceiling and wall-to-wall drapes. You can buy them today.
Are you drape king? He's selling me drapes now. I thought he was the bedspread king.
Wow. He's branching out.
We did, we actually, that's how good the Kevin and Bean show used to be, is we did interview Al Greenwood, the bedspread king, before he passed away at 93 years old in 2001.
Well, bedspreads will keep you young. Everybody
knows that. Who was the beeper king that also had billboards around town?
Oh,
the king of the beepers. Remember him?
Yeah. Oh. No.
I remember.
Yes.
I remember he existed. I don't remember his name.
Oh, king of the beepers.
JJ!
JJ, the king of the beeper king. We need to find all of the royalty, all the Southern California royalty, and get them together and have some sort of...
wonder how the beeper king is doing now.
Some sort of convention. We should get all the royalty. It must be the queen and the king. Oh, look at this. Dave says that Muggs just called Kylie Jenner's number. Yes. And it is disconnected.
Aw.
Well, can we find where she lives?
I mean, I don't think we want...
are we going to harass her this morning?
I'm not positive that's what we want to do.
Mine weren't exact going to be settled until there's some Kylie harassment going on.
There's already been enough, I think.
All right.
Do we want to hear an ad from JJ, the king of the
beepers? Yes! Give me a little JJ, king of the
beepers. All the kings.
All right, we got to hang on for a sec because there's a commercial.
Hang
on. I can skip. Hang on. Here we go.
This is JJ, the king.
Hello.
JJ, the king of beepers in a lake.
Come on.
JJ?
I'm celebrating, Art.
You're celebrating? You took the jingle off. You know why? Because we give away in the last 7 weeks over 5,000 pages.
But JJ, the jingle.
Who cares about the jingle, Art? You understand, we broke the record.
Okay, you've given away over 5,000 pages in the
last... All right, there's a little bit of JJ the Beeper King.
Man, that's
high-quality commercial.
I think he's moved on to casement windows. He sounds like the guy's like... Your whole house could be covered with potato chips and we wouldn't break one. He sounds like that guy. We are the only company in Southern California to put the window in your house, the broken stucco. We call it Ring Around the Window.
Your house could be covered with potato chips. We wouldn't break one.
Well, I hope you're right that he got out of the beeper business and moved on to something more lucrative.
Yeah, I think he's in
the like his treatment of that jingle, though. I'll tell you that right now. Leaves this reviewer cold.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Our buddy Mark Maron's 53 years old today. YouTube star Grace Helbig is 31. Avril Lavigne's 32. Lil Wayne is 34 years old today. Gwyneth Paltrow is 44. A lot of people.
Hold on.
She's a very beautiful.
She's a very beautiful woman.
A lot of people. Yeah.
Here's the thing. In certain roles, she can be attractive. So maybe
when special effects are used.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe one bell, like a tepid bell. Like, maybe it's in the next room.
Yeah, I know we'll you find your
But you can't ring it 10 times.
Right, we'll give you a bell. Take it. Take the win.
Take the one bell and be happy.
And pipe down.
All right.
And Meatloaf is 69 years
old. He gets all the bells.
That's right, yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Steve Aoki will be here in just a few minutes in studio to talk about his new documentary on Netflix, which is great.
And less than 1 hour from right now, we'll give you more tickets for Panic at the Disco. They're playing the Forum in March. You can win those just after 9 o'clock and qualify for a trip to see them in New York City. Grand prize winner announced at 5 o'clock today. So every hour today on K-Rock from 9 till 4, win your tickets to see Panic at the Disco.
What do you guys think when I say the words professional cuddler?
Nice work if you can get it.
Creepy as all hell?
That's what I was thinking.
Other than that?
That's what I was thinking. Creepy as all hell. This guy, his job is cuddling.
Oh.
And people come to him and they pay him to touch them, basically.
That's correct, to cuddle, yes.
Oh.
Sometimes he runs his fingers over them very lightly.
No!
Sometimes. I'll let him explain.
My name is Can, and I do professional cuddling in New York City. Honestly, I don't even love the word cuddling. If I was going to name the therapy, I would call it alternative touch. It's the kind of touch like everybody loves when at the salon they shampoo your hair. It's attention paid, I feel. To make my apartment somewhat of a health oasis.
All right.
His apartment. People come to his apartment to be touched. They pay a stranger to touch them in his apartment.
They go to his apartment, which is a health oasis, Bean.
It sounds like Rape City is what it sounds like.
And this is what he does to make sure that it's a health oasis.
In Dirty Chinatown, I have brought in a hospital-grade nanoparticle air purifier. It even gets the chemtrails out. And all these plants are living real plants, so bringing in fresh oxygen. I have a humidifier, essential oil diffuser. The water that I offer guests and that I drink myself has been multi-stage purified.
Oh, it's been multi-stage purified.
You bought some crap on Amazon in a plant.
What?
Come on.
Why do you not believe him?
He's acting like it's this amazing oasis.
It's a health oasis.
Come on.
Have you seen it?
I have.
It's a health oasis.
Come on, Kevin.
And sometimes also distilled. What are you feeling like? You want me to... rub you? You want a spoon? You want a hug?
I want to do everything.
Go on.
Come here.
Go on.
It was not what it sounded like. It was like, you know how you tap people? It wasn't what you thought.
Okay. Sure,
it wasn't what you pictured and what Bean was doing.
No.
Sometimes with clients, we'll talk about the elephant in the room, which is why are they coming to hire a professional cuddlist? What is
all right, now that's a good question. Why are they hiring a professional cuddlist, as he says? What do you think the reasons are?
I just think you're desperately lonely.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Their experience with relationships, with intimacy, you know, their mom never hugged them. Their wife is very cold to them. A couple of them have been people who...
What do you think he's going to say there?
Have been abused.
No.
Oh.
Bean, any guesses?
I don't.
I got the sense they were on maybe the autism Asperger spectrum where they...
Oh, okay. All right.
Come on, Bean. We're all still having fun, right?
Yeah, we sure are.
I got the sense they were on maybe the autism Asperger spectrum where they just have never been able to engage in a... natural intimacy with friends. They don't even, you know, high-five their friends. It's just been a very isolated, physically isolated experience.
I will say this. My man Bean, when somebody hugs him, does not know how to react.
I don't love it.
Well,
I
here's
do not
the thing,
love it.
Too. When you're on the spectrum, a stranger hugging you is not something you ever want.
Right. Yeah.
So I can't imagine that this guy is doing a service
to
anyone.
He's a professional.
No, he's not.
He is, and he has his apartment as a health oasis.
Time and so much therapy to get somebody that is on the spectrum to allow that. And sometimes that doesn't even happen. So I call BS on that.
I found it sad that they don't even high five. Bean, have you ever high five someone?
I've tried and missed, if that's what you're asking. Let me ask you this, though, because he mentioned one elephant in the room. I have to ask the other elephant in the room, and that is, does one or both partners ever want to escalate it further? Does that ever come up as they're laying down and their arms are intertwined and they're consenting adults and they're there in his apartment? Does that never happens?
Let's see.
What is that? Why?
So I think so.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Is it tender? Like it's...
I consider so many people my best friends, but I'm so many different people's single only best friend. Because I think that's why I think I'm good at this.
You have best friend written all over you.
I just have this ability to make someone feel like they're my whole focus.
Right. I mean, I call you my best friend. Oh, who's that? That's my best friend.
That's her best friend.
By the way, that dude gets $80 an hour.
Yep, $80 an hour.
Wow.
He doesn't even have to leave his apartment.
Good for him.
You know, we like rarely spend time together. And we just met being obvious. That's my best friend. It's real.
Attention is magic in this universe, and it has the power to shape reality. It truly does. So sending positive, loving, affectionate attention at someone is going to have supernatural benefits. I mean, it just does. It just works.
I feel like I matter. Oh. That might have been a little too deep, but that's how I feel. That's how I feel.
If you mattered, that's sad, but if you mattered, you wouldn't have to pay $80 an hour.
This makes me profoundly sad.
I think cuddling can do that, make you feel like you're a human being, especially when you feel invisible to the world.
I just have always been someone who likes touch, so when it became an option of this being something that's like a new alternative therapy, it just made sense.
Okay, that took a turn for me.
The answer to your question, Bean, is no.
Apparently not.
They do not have sex. Just a professional cuddler.
Is he cuddlist? Licensed? Do you have to be licensed, I wonder?
I don't know.
I need answers.
How much research do you think I've done on this guy? Just saying, if you slowed down some, you would make us feel better about ourselves. That's what I'm saying. Steve Aoki has joined us in the studio. Hi.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
I got to co-sign Kevin's remarks. Look, we've been fans of yours for a long time. We followed your career, I thought, fairly closely. But when I saw your new documentary, I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, on Netflix, I needed a nap immediately after. It was exhausting.
Yeah, we shot that for 3 years. And, I mean, I'm exhausted thinking about the whole process, honestly. But, it was interesting to do it with these guys.
Okay, but having seen the movie and seeing the toll that it takes on you, why do you continue to keep saying yes to 300-plus gigs a year all over the world? You're in control of that, you know.
There's a secret sauce number now. It's obviously, 300 is excessive, obviously.
Okay, so it's no longer.
Oh, you're willing to admit that. Okay, good. You cut it off at 299?
Close. But it's in the 200 range. You know, it's low 200 range. 220 is like my, I think.
That's your sweet spot?
Yeah, that's the sweet spot. And because, I mean, you know, you have to balance it with studio time.
Right.
You know, so.
If you weren't in the studio, would you tour constantly?
I mean, there was periods of time where I'd finish an album or I'd finish like a big bulk of music and I'd be like, all right, I'm going to stay on the road. And then
until I feel like I'm going to die and then I'll give it a break.
Well, what happened was, you know, I got to a point where I could, you know, I was DJing off I was producing off my laptop. So it didn't matter where I was because I would just jump into a studio in any city. But now, I mean, obviously the best time to be creative is if you lock yourself away for a few weeks so you catch a flow instead of just catching like those moments of creativity on the road, which is actually quite difficult to get into that space, you know?
Right.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Steve Aoki's documentary is called I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. It's available on Netflix, and it's so fascinating. And I wondered if you learned anything about yourself watching the thing put together, Steve.
Honestly, it's really difficult to watch the film. I saw it at the Beacon Theater when we showed it at Tribeca Film Festival, but since then I haven't been able to watch it.
Why?
It's hard because it's hard to see yourself talk about some of these kind of, you know, these very personal moments. I mean, it's one thing to talk about it because, like, when you're talking about it, you're in this spirit of talking about it, and it's almost like therapy. Like, I had looked at the director and the crew almost like they're like my good friends after, you know, they've been traveling with me for a bit. So it was easier to open up once you're friends with someone. You don't really think like, okay, this is going to be filmed and exposed to the world.
Right. Yeah. And some of it, like the scene where you're talking about, you know, the loss of DJ AM, it's so personal and so intimate. Now it seems awkward for you to be sitting in a room full of people that you don't know watching it, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's why when I think about this film, I'm more excited about that there is the homage to DJ AM, who really, you know, laid a foundation for DJs out here, mm-hmm. as well as just being like such a great human being, as well as my father and my mom. You know, I love that, like, it really discusses or like brings out, you know, the beauty of all these people.
Tell these people about your dad and the struggle that you go through in this movie and in your life.
I mean, I think what's interesting about this for other people is that it's the process of what happened when nothing was happening and why things started to happen. And that's what they really kind of narrate. It's like, okay, so why did things happen when you're trying to be a DJ, you're trying to do this, what was the drive? And that's when the conversation was like, well, like, I, you know, I had this complicated relationship with my father who was not really around. And
I feel like that's a universal thing. It's a parent that's maybe not around or whatever that you just want to please in some way.
Exactly. Yeah.
But sort of can't.
Right.
At least for a while.
And it's like he lives a completely different life than I'm living in a different world that my mom put me in, mm-hmm. which I feel grateful in that regard because she kind of just like, okay, we're going to live over here and he's going to do his thing and he's going to like fly in and you can see him and then he's going to be gone doing his own thing again. And eventually I understood that, you know, I might have rebelled against him, but at the end of the day, I was trying to just show him that I can, you know, make it on my own.
Would you have been where you are today had that not been the case with him?
I have to say, it's hard for me to say to see that kind of future, but I know that that was a really big driving influence when I got to the point where once I graduated from college and had to figure out how, you know, to make ends meet no mm-hmm. matter what.
Right.
And I was sitting on, you know, mountains and mountains of debt. And there's no one to bail me out. There's no, like, parent to actually bail me out of that situation that I had to figure this out. And through that figuring it out, it was like I wanted to show him, like, hey, you know, this music career that I'm doing that looks like, you know, baloney, that doesn't look like it's going to actually amount to much.
I feel like that's true for all parents. Any kid that says they want to go into music in any form.
Right.
The parents just go, oh, no.
I mean, because, like, if you're a traditional entrepreneur, you know, you make money by grinding it and, like, you know, through what he did with restaurants. I mean, it's like almost I can understand where he's coming from. Like, okay, first of all, I was in punk and hardcore bands playing in front of 20 people, getting paid 20 bucks, and I was happy.
Right.
You know, and like, so those kinds of, like, the financial bottom line wasn't my happiness. You know, that wasn't what made me happy. So he knew that, knowing that, like, okay, if this is the future that I see for him that makes him happy, then he's definitely going to be, you know, struggling through his adult life. So if I continue down the path, I'm definitely not going to support him. And two, I'm going to show him that, like, this is not the path that I agree on, you know?
Right.
And he was a very stern, conservative Japanese, you know, parent, like Japanese work ethic. Like, you have to grind, you have to start from the bottom, and you have to work traditional jobs, and you have to do things you do not like to do to get, you know, get to where you have to be. And
that's the opposite of loving playing music for 20 bucks.
Right, exactly. You know.
Yeah.
And then the music, as you know, like starting a label, you know, I started a label with the not the intention to make money, but to help bands and help artists. And you know, once again, when I when I explained to him what I was doing, he's like, well, where's the, like, how do you make money on this? I'm like, well, I'm not really, you know, it doesn't really help my cause. And then later on when I had no choice but to get business sensibilities, you know, living in LA and having to pay for rent and having to, you know, just live my life. This DJing thing, this side DJing thing really, it's just funny how that thing was the breadwinner, you know, those $100
gigs. Last thing
you
expected, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was like at the beauty bar in front of like 50 people, I get $150, and you do that 3 times a week, you know, every single week.
You used to play beauty bars?
Well, no, there's a place called the Beauty Bar.
Okay, good.
My bad.
Sometimes he does a low dry bar every now and then for some extra cash.
Sometimes you have to start in small places. I didn't know.
But, you know, I play all over Hollywood. I'm talking like bars where there's no dance floor. It's just a bar rail where people are drinking and just confused at what you're playing.
I love seeing some of the pictures and video in the documentary, I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, how small some of those rooms are. Like, you could crowd surf in those rooms and hit the wall 4 seconds after you leave the DJ
room.
Yeah. It's hilarious. We got to take a break in a second here, Steve, but what's the poorest moment you can remember? Like, for me, I remember having to borrow $4 to put in my account so that I could withdraw 20 because I didn't have 20 in my account. But if I could borrow 4, then I could bring 20 out. That was my poor moment. What was yours?
I could say, like, you know, just thinking about the $4, I remember when I put out my first single on Denmark, I had $400. You know, I was a college kid, so I had $400 that I made from my summer jobs. And we poured it into the 7-inch. It cost $1,200 to make the 7-inch. So it's like, so we put $400 each. It was 3 friends, and we would sell the 7-inches for $3, and they would pay us in quarters sometimes. So we would save $1 from every 7-inch. That was our profit.
Wow.
So we would save, like, and then we'd sell 600 7-inches. So we would make $600 extra.
Nice.
And that actually, we saved that $600 so we could put it into the next record.
Yep. And you felt like we've made it, right, at that point, because you had actual cash coming in from your passion.
We got an extra dollar for every 70 sold. And we,
I love,
like,
it.
You know, that's just part of the business, you know.
Kevin, we're going to come back with Steve Aoki in a moment. The documentary is called I'll Sleep When I'm Dead on Netflix. What are we going to be playing when we come back?
Your remix of Blink-182.
I'm happy about that.
Yes.
I'm glad you guys are playing that.
We were happy to see when it came out, and we were like, Steve's coming in. We need to play that. So it's going to be great. Bored to Death, I think is the name of it. Yeah, Blink-182, and it's the Steve Aoki remix. And we'll play that, and we'll be right back. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. That's Bored to Death by Blink-182, remixed by our guest, Steve Aoki.
Steve, nice job on that.
Thanks for playing the song. I mean, I'm just happy it's on K-Rock, you know?
We're happy to play it.
I appreciate it.
I know you've been close with the Blink guys for a long time, and we love them, too. They are playing this week, playing a bunch of shows this week down at Irvine Meadows, getting ready to close that place down. You're here.
Yeah.
You should go do something with them.
Oh, there's a little surprise.
What?
I'll definitely be there. I'll just say that. I'll definitely be there, but there's going to be a little surprise.
Okay.
For anyone that's going to the show, you're going to be in for a treat.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. The documentary is called I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, which is – that's got to be your motto, right? I mean, you probably say that to yourself 10 times a day when you go, I could sleep now, but I won't.
I just tattooed it on my neck.
I'm not totally sure
about it.
Travis Barker shows up in the film. Your friends, the Madden brothers, who you go way back with, members of your family, your mom, your sister, your brother are all in there. All the DJs, too. I mean – I don't know. Usually people don't ask, hey, what do you think of me? But what was it like for you to hear the kind words coming out of Tiesto and Afrojack and Diplo and Pete Tong and everybody? They love you.
Yeah, it's obviously humbling to hear it from, you know, a lot of these guys are
the greats.
You know, it's incredible. Like, some of them I've known for years. Like, Wes, Diplo, I've known him probably the longest out of all the DJs out there. It's like 2004. I mean, we did my very first remix. I asked him to do the B side of the 12-inch, you know, in 2005. So, you know, dating it back all the way then and bringing him out to LA.
You guys have come a long way.
Yeah, so it's funny, like, you almost forget how long, you know, you've been doing it with some of these guys, especially when you see the careers, like, blow up to the point where it's like almost a brand new identity, you know, like watching what he's done, you know, in the last couple of years.
When you started, I was a little bit surprised to find out that you weren't embraced by most people in that world, that it was a difficult run for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think with anything, you do something that's out of the ordinary, there's going to be people that are going to criticize it regardless. And that's going to come with the territory.
Did you expect it?
I didn't expect it from – I didn't expect like how loud it would be from certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, those are like the curveballs that like shock everyone. That's why they make the EDM headlines.
Sure.
But because in general, the EDM community is a very harmonious
world. Well, that's
world,
what I thought. You know? Like, I was a little surprised by how difficult it was for you at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like when you hear or like see that the criticism's real. I mean, of course, you're going to get it from like the trolls on the internet. Like, you know, you expect
of course,
that.
Yeah.
But when you get it from like an influential name or a DJ out there, you're like, okay, well, you know, how do you respond to something like this? But it doesn't warrant a response because it's they're just saying nasty things. You
right.
Know?
Right. It's so, not an actual criticism where yeah. they want you to be better. They just want to badmouth you.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, some in moments like that, I'm just scratching my head, really. Like, I don't really know how to deal with it. It does hurt because the kind of influence they have warrants all the negativity from people that may not like this caking thing that they don't, you know, that they don't understand,
right.
or whatever it is that they like. They're just like, I hate this guy for this reason, for whatever reason. That
anybody that hates you for cake, that's a weird, that's a strange thing to hate.
Pick your battles. Come on, people.
Seriously,
Steve. Every artist is happy and grateful for their fans, but the impression I got watching your movie is you take it to a whole new level. I mean, I feel like you genuinely love them. Like, they are such an important part of your life, and that's what motivates you to do 220 gigs a year, is because you love that feedback from them.
Yeah, I think that you can even talk to a lot of artists when they play these big festivals, and I remember talking to some bands, and sometimes they're like, yeah, we just look out in the crowd, and it's like almost like the same show over and over again because it's just a bunch of heads.
And, right, it's just a sea of people.
Right, and right. then you actually can get jaded that way. You know, you can get jaded if you only look at it in this macro way. But if you really focus in on like the one person in the front row that's singing every single song that you could tell, like that music changed their life, and they're there for this. That they're there. They need to be there. You know, they need to be connected. And if you can connect with that, with those people, then it becomes refreshing, and it becomes a new thing. And then you're like, okay, I could do, you know, 200 more shows.
Right.
If you just do that.
Like this, yeah.
You know? So that's what I started doing. I started, like, focusing on the details and the details that mean something for me, because there are the people in the crowd that I mean, I'm playing for them at
right.
the end of the day.
I saw you in Cabo San Lucas, and I just came across. I was downtown. I was drinking, and I just came across and said, Steve Aoki is here tonight, and I didn't have a ticket, so I jumped a fence, and I got in there. And
I would love to see the jumping
I did.
Fence.
I jumped a fence, and I got in there, and there were people that came out before you, but zero people cared. It was just like, everybody's waiting for Steve. Wait till Steve comes out, and then you came out, and everybody was just so genuinely happy to see you. That has to make you feel good.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I do what I do at that level, and I mean, it's also important to be in the studio because you have to make that music to get that same kind of connection. And you know how it is with music. It's like you need to get music out there all the time.
Continuously, right.
Right. So it's also exciting. So, you know, you take what you get from the road, like the inspiration you get on the road, bring it back in the studio and mash it up to try to find something that's will connect to more people.
We're out of time, I'm sad to say. What's 2017 already shaping up to look like for you, Steve Aoki?
That I would say my next album, because that's okay. what I've been in the studio this past week and this whole year finishing up Neon Future 3, the third part of the saga. But and you know, I know you guys just played the remix I did with for Blink-182.
Mm-hmm.
We have a song that we wrote together that will be on the album too.
You and
so
nice.
Like, yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's different. It's different than the remix too. So it's a really great song.
Well,
so I'm
we
really
can't
happy
wait.
About that.
And the documentary is so much fun, you guys. It's as we mentioned, it's available on Netflix right now. It's called Asleep When I'm Dead, and you really will enjoy it. I mean, there's so many great things. I mean, it's a really good movie on top of everything else. It's just an entertaining movie and a great story, and I loved learning about your family and the relationship, and your sister's so hot, and it was just a lot of fun.
Oh, why do you have to go there? We're just about to say goodbye.
I'm naming
positive things about the film.
Dear Lord. You're the best, man. Thanks so much for coming back.
It is 8:54.
Right? Hey,
Right.
Ralph is too modest to mention this, but fans of Ralph Garman, those in the Garmy, please check out Paste Magazine's website today or social media because they have posted an interview article about your boy, Ralph Garman. Congratulations, Ralph.
Thank you.
Nice little bio piece there.
I want to thank Michael Dunaway of Paste Magazine. He was kind enough to reach out and say he wanted to do a little story on me. So it was fun. It was fun talking to him, and it turned out pretty well.
I was sad that they would cut out all the nice things you probably had to say about Kevin and Bean.
I mentioned K-Rock hard in that interview.
Shame there wasn't room for us. But otherwise, it was very entertaining and enjoyable.
I mentioned the Kevin and Bean show hard.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you mentioned it a lot. It just got edited. You know,
it's in there. Read it.
Yeah, I did.
I don't care. I just like that it makes Bean upset.
It's not in there, not even once.
K-Rock LA is not in there?
K-Rock is in there, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you do acknowledge
the
state.
I got the important part.
The important part, exactly. You got the people who pay you in there.
I was worried there for a minute. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin just high-fived me. Yeah. The people that pay you. Yeah, those are the important people.
Those are the important people.
Yes.
My feelings are hurt that you didn't mention
And I mentioned Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla. You should have.
Yeah, they got mentioned. That's true, yes. People who aren't on the show anymore.
Just saying.
Yes. Okay.
Just saying.
That was good.
All the important people got mentioned.
Right. The people you like were all in the piece.
Well, I think that's clear, Bean.
All right.
Last night, this debate apparently happened between the two people who are running for president. A woman named Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Trump.
Was this in the news?
It was in the news. They are saying now, estimated 115 million viewers tuned in.
Oh, wow.
On the various networks it was being carried on to check out what was going to happen between those two. And it largely didn't disappoint. It was a reality show of the highest order. A lot of strong feelings on both sides.
It was wrong. Jerry Springer-esque.
It was. And
wrong.
A lot of people... wondered what was going on with Donald J. Trump sniffing. Seemed to be a recurring theme of the night.
It was really pronounced.
It's
not something that you could have even ignored if you wanted to.
Right. You know how Bean breathes into the microphone on our show?
Right.
It was like that, but worse.
So much worse, which is concerning.
It was like, whoa, take it easy.
Well,
what's going on there?
As you can imagine, someone put together a supercut online of all of Donald J. Trump's sniffs throughout the debate last night, and it's wildly entertaining. Here's just I won't play the whole 2 minutes, but here's a little piece of it. Just the sniffs.
All individual sniffs, no repeats there.
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Did you see
or was it
what Mr. Trump had to say this morning on Fox and Friends about it when he was asked about the sniffing, Ralph? Did you see that?
That he has the greatest Coke in the world?
He said, no sniffles. The mic was very bad. Maybe it was good enough to hear breathing, but there were no sniffles.
Oh.
My mic was terrible. I wonder if it was set up that way on purpose.
Oh, the system is rigged.
I don't want to believe in conspiracy theories,
the
of course, he said.
He got Belichicked.
Wow.
That's unreal.
No
really?
Sniffles, he says.
No sniffles.
Let me play a little more.
That's just the mic, man.
Yeah, and by the way, Hillary Clinton had no sniffles.
Because it's rigged. It's a rigged system.
They're just trying to embarrass Mr. Trump is what's happening here, the lamestream media.
Right.
Didn't you, as you watched it, think the first 10, 15 minutes, you're like, look at these two being civil. Look at this debate. This is okay. And then, boom.
Then the wheels came off.
Yes, but for 15 minutes, I felt okay.
Yeah.
Although I kept wondering if Donald Trump was going to need to go back and have another bump because he really looked like
that. He did put his hand to his nose quite a few times. I noticed he was a little vile, I think, stuffed up his sleeve, if I'm not mistaken. I'm all for coked up Don. That's what I want. I want coked up Trump every debate. That's what I want.
Agreed.
Go nuts. For people who care about such things, more romance news and show business. Another couple that everyone seemed to love, calling it quits. Naomi Watts and Liev Schreiber said,
"Come on."
After 11 years of being together, they are separating as a couple.
But I want them together.
What? Do you have feelings about this too, B?
Yes.
Why do you care?
Because they're a great couple.
Well, but they're great separate too, aren't they?
I want them to be together.
But look. You're such a hopeless romantic, Dean.
Isn't he, though?
He's all emotion all the time. Right? It's all heart with him.
He feels too much.
He loves love.
Jeez, you have to get a harder shell, Bean. You can't be such a softie.
I love
life can crush you.
Really? You're going to have to develop a thicker skin, Bean.
Protect your heart.
Get a little more abrasive, a little less mushy.
Allie, you're with me. Liv and Naomi together is a great couple.
Liv and Nev.
I know their names. So that's
Liv and Nev is the couple that you love.
Liv and Nev.
Liv and Nev.
I call them Liev and Naomi, which is different because we're not as close as you are. But here's the thing with them. They've got a beautiful family, beautiful kids. If it wasn't going to work out and this is going to be better for the kids in the long run, let it just be.
Let it be, Bean.
Let it be.
All right.
But at the Emmys, when he had his son on his lap, oh, did my ovaries hurt.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right. That's Allie's ovary update.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Trump, we just don't have the time for all of the inhaling. Today's celebrity birthday.
I've now played a total of 20 seconds, and there's still another minute 5 to go.
Yeah.
That's how much sniffing there was.
Well, this guy's, man's got to breathe. Mark Maron is 53 years old today as we look at the celebrity birthdays. Grace Helbig is 31. Avril Lavigne is 32 years old. Lil Wayne turns 34. Gwyneth Paltrow is 44 years old today. And singer Meatloaf is 69 today. Edwin, one of our favorite listeners, Edwin, writes in and said, yes, it's true. Meatloaf is not the singer he once was, but he still has charisma and stage presence, he said, that he always had.
Okay.
So he guesses that 2 out of 3 ain't bad, he said.
Nope.
We're good.
Go right to hell.
Look, I love Meatloaf. Don't get me wrong. I love Meatloaf. I would like to say that he is still the singer he was.
Right.
But I would do anything for love, but I can't do that. I can't.
Yay!
I won't do that. I can't say that. And now Kevin's doing cocaine. Boy, everybody's doing
cocaine. Gotta get through this.
I don't blame you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
We got time for one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls. Some folks have been contacting me, emailing and tweeting and stuff, asking about Hollywood Babylon this weekend, which we are doing on Friday night, but we're already sold out, so we're not.
Oh,
no more tickets.
So just be sort of you rubbing it in if you brought it up.
No, I just wanted to let people know because I keep getting emails. You know, are you doing one this week? It's been a couple weeks since you guys have done Hollywood Babylon. I said, yeah, we are doing it, but we're already sold out. So
says who?
Me. But tomorrow night, Kevin Smith is doing a live staged reading of a new sitcom that he's written.
Says who?
At the Improv. I think it's the 6 o'clock tomorrow night at the Improv, and he's asked me to come by and read some characters and stuff. So if you want to see a stage reading of a new script by Kevin Smith, you can do that tomorrow night at the Improv.
What do you have 6 p.m. to lose?
Right. What do you got to lose?
It's a good point.
Does anyone better on the earth than Tom Hanks? Have you seen this story?
Yes. I haven't seen the story, and I don't think there is.
He's jogging through Central Park.
Okay.
In New York City. And there's a lovely young couple. They're doing their wedding photos after their ceremony in the park. And Hanks just jogs up, like, oh, hi, guys, how are you? And he kisses the bride's hand, and he takes pictures with them, and they shoot a video of him. And he goes, oh, I need to post this, too. So he pulls out his camera and does a selfie with himself and the bride and groom that he posts on his own Instagram.
He is a dick?
No, Kevin, you're missing the point of the story.
What?
He's the opposite of a dick.
Oh.
He seems like... He makes it all look so easy. He's just...
He is the founder of ISIS.
No,
He's not the founder of ISIS.
He's one of the greatest actors of all time and one of the nicest guys apparently on the planet. And he just makes it all look so easy.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
I didn't invent Booyah. You're missing the whole point of the whole story.
I don't think the guy's qualified to be president of the United States.
I don't think that's the point either.
Yeah, I would vote for him in a heartbeat.
And by the way, let's not gloss over that he had just 20 minutes before landed a plane full of passengers onto the goddamn Hudson, saved those lives, then crawled out of the drink and got his photo taken with these people.
The drink?
The drink, yes,
I don't know about that, but he sure is the cat's pajamas. I hope he wasn't drinking any of that illegal hooch. Hope Elliot Ness and his men were going to bring down Capone.
What happens to you?
Just crawled out of the drink.
What happens to you? Why does that happen? Why can't you just speak like the rest of us?
Oh, my God. Speak like the rest of us, you.
Yes?
I'm flabbergasted.
Tom Hanks is great. We all agree. Yeah. That's the point.
Anyway, that's the story.
That's awesome.
Hey, he's the man who invented Booyah.
Here's some music news. A singer named Nikki Williams is suing her manager. You may know her best as the ex-wife of Nicolas Cage's son. Probably not. She is the former daughter-in-law of Nicolas Cage. She is suing her manager. She is a singer and songwriter and performer. She is suing her manager, saying that her manager derailed her career by pressuring her into having a breast reduction.
What?
She's suing the manager because he suggested she have a breast reduction. She says that her manager, Brian Prescott, had a big issue with her because her breasts bounced excessively when she danced. And so she claims...
What is wrong with this guy?
He coerced her into having breast reduction surgery back in 2013.
Nice job, dumbass.
And now her career is over.
Well, then he ought to be sent to Guantanamo for starters.
That's what we're saying. Look, the point of the story is never, ever, ever have a breast reduction for any reason.
I think that's the point of the story. Of health reasons.
And I hope there's some legal precedent. I hope this case goes to the Supreme Court. So we can finally talk about women's health and women's issues and make sure that women are never, ever disfigured like this again.
Too much.
That's all we're saying.
Why are you supporting a guy who wants to carve up a woman,
Allie?
For God's sakes, that's how God made her. Let her be.
Listen, a lot of women have a lot of back problems.
Wrong.
And a breast reduction changes lives for them.
Yeah, it makes everyone around them sad.
And it ruins their careers,
apparently. I think you're all rotten humans.
Ruins their careers? And makes everyone around them unhappy, including the women themselves.
I hate you all. This is not
knock, knock, bang, boobies.
Okay.
Right?
Good point.
More music news. Pharrell Williams is taking his partnership with Adidas to the next level. He is designing a new sneaker and apparel collection called Who.
It's called what?
No, it's called...
Oh, man.
No, sir. It's called...
No.
It's called Who.
Nope.
It's called Who.
Come on. Don't do it.
This is where you say Who.
No,
who,
it Bean. Isn't.
Say, Bean, say Who.
Who?
Pharrell Williams.
Oh.
Pharrell Williams, he put it together in a fashion line called Who.
Wrong.
But what's it called?
No, what's not what it's called? Who?
All right.
You're way too excited about this.
By the way, Who, H-U, is the name of the line. Fashion
like the former Chinese president.
Right. It stands for, it's short for, human.
Oh.
Human beings, human race, humankind. Hugh. But, he says, Hugh is also a reference to a color.
Yeah.
As in H-U-E, Hugh. Uh-huh.
But how's it spelled?
So as human beings, we all have a color, he says. You sound like Farrakhan. It's like a Farrakhan speech. If you take the word Hugh and you drop the E, you get Hugh. Hugh man. If you take the word Hugh man and break it into two halves, the first half, Hugh, is a color on also the human race.
It sounds racist.
He says, we all look different, we all speak different languages, but we are all connected. So you can get his new Hugh fashion line next Thursday. It's going to be out, so you can get that out.
All right.
And while you're shopping for Christmas, if you're looking for things to get for people for Christmas.
Did you say shopping for Christmas?
Yeah, it's right around the corner, Kevin. Time to start Christmas shopping.
Come on, Kevin.
It's
the end of September.
Got to start your Christmas shopping now.
Well,
no, you don't.
Thank you.
You go to the 24-hour CVS, I'm sure, on Christmas Eve and get your wife some M&Ms. But the rest of us put thoughts into our presence.
It's the fun. It's not the fun. Energy that you spend trying to get just one last thing.
And you get the crap, whatever's left over.
Right.
That's what you get. Here's what you get for Kevin this year. If you're looking to get something for Kevin, you might want to get the new Bob Dylan.
Wow.
36 disc set.
Oh, God.
36 discs.
Go on. Tell me more.
That sounds
horrible. That's too much if there's one song on each disc.
It is all of his live recordings from 1966.
Not interested. Mm-mm.
The 1966 live recordings is a 36 disc box set taken from all of the shows of Dylan's Blonde on Blonde tour that year. So you can hear them all in 36.
Oh, God. No.
Disc set from 1966. That's all good. That's going to be available.
That seems like a lot.
Do you think?
Too much.
Who needs a 36 set of Bob Dylan singing?
Who needs a 36 set of anything for any reason?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Maron is 53 years old today. Our own Christine. Assistant producer Christine celebrates her birthday today.
How has she survived working on this show as long as she has? As nice a lady as she is.
I don't know. That's a good question.
How have we not broken her?
She has.
Oh, we've broken her.
No, I don't think so. I think she has, like, armor. Her niceness is like armor that she's protected by her innate goodness.
And does it block all of our negativity?
Yeah, everything else, it all bounces off of her, I think.
Huh. She did try and kill Rhonda Ruffy, though, so maybe it comes out in different ways.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. She did step on Dave's dog.
Yeah.
And she shares a birthday with Rhonda Ruffy, who's 1 year old today.
I don't think that needs to make the list.
Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe Christine is jealous of Rhonda Ruffy, so she tried to kill her so she would be the only one with that birthday.
Christine's going to kill me.
10 seconds ago, we were talking about how nice she is, and now she's trying to kill
a dog murderer. Right. See, she's nice to people, but to animals?
Yes.
Murderer.
Sure.
Murderer.
She's also a racist and a farter,
right,
too,
that's
if I recall.
I, heard, yeah.
I don't think any of that's true.
Let's see if her armor of niceness protects her against this segment. Grace Helbig's 31 years old today. Avril Lavigne is 32 years old. Lil Wayne celebrates his 34th birthday. Gwyneth Paltrow is 44. And singer Meat Loaf celebrates his 69 years on the planet today. What?
You just said 69. I thought you were going to say 69th birthday. That's all. Back to you.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour tonight. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, you get $1,000. We're going to give you another $1,000.
Tomorrow we're giving away another $1,000?
What about that? Thanks to the good people of Masterminds. So that is tomorrow. And also Mark Paul Gossler joins us in studio.
MPG!
MPG.
Oh, my buddy, MPG.
How about that? That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.